Hi, this is Booker T, the five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, TPP, the king of bada bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. And you, or you, monkey, you're listening on the SNS Network. Stay tuned or you will feel bang!
Big Daddy Cool, Diesel, / Kevin Nash. You're listening on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA, and you're listening on the SNS Radio Network. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
This is Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, Mr. Hall of Fame, 2011, and you are listening on SNS Radio Network. See ya, and I wouldn't want to be here.
Hey, you listen on the SNS Network, and that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
The world is listening.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
Take it anymore. I'm mad as hell about these freaking whores who have pimped and raped and prostituted the sport of professional wrestling right down into the ground, right down into the gutter, right down into the circus with all the clowns. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take it anymore.
It's still real to me, damn it.
What's you gonna do when Hulkamania and the largest arms in the world destroy you?
As I locked eyes with a warrior that has his face painted, and the outer edges of his faceplate interlock with each other, then I know that that warrior is ready to make that sacrifice so that I shall live.
Wow, man, freaked out!
Living in rotten! Just fine! Can Steven! Wheel of dealing! Son of a gun! Woo!
I have obtained the goals that many men only lay in bed and dream about night after night. I have wined and dined with kings and queens, and I've slept in alleys and dined on pork and beans.
You will rest in peace.
And that's the bottom line. What? Cause Stone Cold said so.
It's just a man. What the rock is.
It's showtime, folks!
Well, you know something, Gino. The new world order is taking over professional wrestling.
Are you ready?
I said, are you ready? And if you're not down with that, Dallas has got two words for ya.
Do I have everybody's attention now? In anybody else's hands, this is a microphone. In my hands, it's a pipe bomb.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Wrestling News Live. With the bad boys of wrestling radio.
And you two jabronis don't even have enough class to introduce yourself? What is your name?
Wrestling.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
Here are your hosts, the Trey Dog and JJ Sexay.
All right, guys, good evening and welcome to another edition of Wrestling News Live right here on the SNS Radio Network. Of course, I am Mr. Money on the mic, JJ, all caps, sex. I hope everybody's doing great on this Tuesday afternoon. Getting ready to talk some Monday Night Raw from last night. Talk some news of the week sponsored by our good friends over at wrestling-online.com. Some news and rumors that I want to talk about. Randy Orton being pulled off of shows and being replaced. What's all that about? Maybe we'll find out a little later in the program. But joining me tonight, ladies and gentlemen, he is the founder and host of Wrestling News Live. The Dog is in the house.
Guess who's back?
Don't piss me off!
They say I'm cocky, and I say what? It ain't bragging, motherfucker, rip your back it up. They say I'm cocky, and I say what? It ain't bragging, motherfucker, rip your back it up.
Good morning. Salutations. I feel like, what's the right way to put this? You know in the movie Little Nicky, where at the beginning of the movie, Satan is a full-grown man in one piece, but by the end of the movie, he's just a little mouthpiece that they're holding to signify where he is. That would be the equal thing to my Turtle Beach headset. I had a full headset a few weeks ago. I broke it and one of the earpieces came off. So for a couple weeks now, I've just been using the one earpiece with the microphone and the part that goes over your head. And then today that broke. So I'm down to one earpiece with a microphone. And I've conveniently redneck engineered that to my head, and to hold it in place, I'm wearing a do-rag, like a war bandage, around my head and around the earpiece, holding it tight to my head so I don't have to hold it by hand.
Very nice. I mean, the only thing missing from that, and I think Farley just said this in the chat, was we should have Henry Winkler get attacked by bees.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all for Henry Winkler. I'm all for a lot of things. I want to see somebody get hit by a car, and I don't mind seeing a swarm of bees.
Okay.
As long as it's not me.
Well, no,
I don't like bees.
On this show, we'd actually give the swarm of bees to Bronx.
Yeah. I'd like to give Bronx a can and tell him that there's money in it and have him open it. Only to be swarmed by bees.
That's just wrong on every level. That's wrong, but it would be funny.
But just one time, and then we'll all laugh. Ha ha ha. And then we'll always have that memory that we can bring up. Remember that time that we opened up the can of bees on Bronx? Oh, yeah, that was great. See, you'll always have that moment if you do it once.
Well, you know, and he'll have that time in between to heal, you know. Be one of those visible scars on the outside, obviously. It, you know, probably wouldn't be very comfortable for him for a while. But, you know, I mean, hey, from the laugh factor point of view, it would work out pretty well.
Well, I mean, what you got to do in a situation like that is you've got to take things and you've got to look at the equations, what I like to call it, in life. And when I say look at the equations, I mean two out of three of us would laugh. That's a favorable equation. So therefore, you must do it.
You know what? I'm all for laughing. I need something to cheer me up. I've had the week from hell.
No, my friend, you have had the year from hell.
Well, I was gonna go a little further and expand on that, but yes, it has been the year from hell. 2012 has not been kind to Mr. JJ Sexay. Just not good at all.
I have had... a bad year myself, not this year so much as a few years ago when everybody around me was dying and everything was just, you know, going to hell in a handbasket. But I can't compare my bad year to your bad year because it doesn't even stand up.
Yeah, you
and
know,
it was a pretty bad year.
Yeah,
I mean, it's, you know.
I hear you. They actually laid my cousin to rest today. He was buried today.
I'm sorry to hear that.
No, I am too. You know, the kid was 26 years old, and you know, didn't really get to live the life that he wanted to. The last 10 years, he's been sick with this illness. I can't even pronounce it, but it really took over his life, his high school year. And you know, every time I heard anything from him, from Uncle Bill or Aunt Marcia, there was always something going on. And they took him to clinics all over the United States, and you know, at one point he was on dialysis, and man, you know, he succumbed. You know, we had a good conversation when I was down in January when my dad passed away. Right. And he and my dad were close, and I guess really the only solace that I could take in this is I know he's not suffering anymore.
Right.
I wasn't as close to him as I would have liked to have been, because he was one of my younger cousins, mind you.
Right.
You know, 'cause there's about a good 10-year age difference between the two of us. I was closer to his older brother, of course. But he was a good kid, you know, and he and my dad got along great. And I'd like to think that somewhere during football season, those guys are going to be up on cloud nine watching some games. And he was a big OU Sooner fan, and he did get to go to an OU
Yay.
Game in Oklahoma. So, you know, unfortunately, there's an OU fan that's, you know, one less for the Sooners this year.
Well, as we're losing linemen right and left, we gained an angel. So there we go.
Maybe he'll bring some luck, man. Who knows?
I think it's going to be a good year for us, and that just makes it even better to know that he's going to be up there watching the Sooners play. But, yeah, it's been a rough year, been a rough go, you know. But, you know, we've talked about this before, and I've told this story before. You know, appreciate life. I was blown away during. I didn't bring this up on the show, I don't think, but a very close friend of mine whose sister lives in Oklahoma City, this big time Thunder fan, had season tickets, and her running buddy that she went to all the games with, and I mean all of them that they could go to, including the playoffs, was 34 years old.
Wow.
And they went to one of the games. I'm not sure the outcome, and it doesn't even matter, but they went to one of the playoff games, and then Tammy had to immediately drive to Claremore because she does payroll at my hotel and works a couple shifts on Sunday. And so she drove home immediately, told her friend goodbye, see you when I get back. By the time she got to Claremore, she had a phone call. Her friend had died, had a heart attack, killed her on the spot. At 34 years old, and they just left the Thunder game.
Wow. That's, wow.
You know, and I'm like, here I sit at 37 going, holy shit, that's not possible. You know. But it is. It can happen. So, I mean, every day, tell the people you love them, and how much.
Well, you know, and here's another thing that's kind of got me down. I mean, this is a good thing. This is not a bad thing. But next week, my 5-year-old starts school.
Holy shit. Do you know what that means?
I do know what that means. I'm in shock. You know, I mean, she's been going to the babysitters
for a
while. Well,
I mean, two things.
Okay.
One, you're getting old. And two, thank God, because now you'll have peace and quiet during the day around the house.
Well, if I was here
when
during
you're not
the day,
working.
Well, yeah. When I'm not working, that's one thing. But,
you know,
I don't know, man. Like, you know, we're just going to put her straight into first grade because, you know, she's had pretty much a year of day homes and stuff. And really, all you learn in kindergarten is how to paint and sleep, and she does that anyway.
And she's smart enough to know how to do everything they're going to learn in kindergarten.
Yeah, she's a smart kid, and I think she missed the cutoff by like a day or two. So,
okay.
You know, we're going to go ahead and start her out in first grade. And, you know, I know she's smart. She's very intelligent. She shows that to me every day, so I'm not worried about her having any problems in school, but I'm amazed, man. I'm pushing 38, and she's going to school next week. I don't know who's going to be more upset over it, me or Harmony. I mean, you got to remember, I have spent the last 5 years with her. You know, I've been the one mainly taking care of her when I wasn't working, because there was a period there for a while I wasn't doing anything. I was house dad. And I've had those, you know, 4 to 5 years with her that's been very instrumental. And I don't know, man, it's like that Darius Rucker song, you know. This won't last long. When I hear that song, it makes me tear up, you know? because that's what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a happy thing, but at the same time,
it won't be like this for long.
I'm kind of sad.
Well, you know, get glad, because we're about to kick off the Wrestling News Live Fantasy Football League. I can't tell you how many emails and messages I've had of people wanting to get in, which is a good thing. But unfortunately, there's only one league. And no matter how many leagues you see with the Wrestling News Live name on it, because I know they're out there, there's only one official league, and it's the one that I run. And it's this one. And it's going to be a blast. We've got all but one team. One team. And I'm going to tell you how that one last team can get in on the show tonight. And we'll do that tonight during the show. I'll tell you what to look for. And if you can find it and be the first one back to report it to me in the chat room that I see, you're in. So be ready.
See, that
be
would,
prepared.
That would be awesome if I was into that kind of stuff. But, I mean, I'm going to let you handle this. So have fun with
it. Yeah, I'd like for you to get in it, but I know you don't really give a shit about football that much. So.
No.
I got to tell you, it was nice today. You know, speaking of peace and quiet around the house. I got up early this morning at 8 o'clock. Well, I got up at 7:30. I had to be at the mechanic's car lot or car place by 8, the shop. Over the weekend, I found out that the bearing was going out in my right, or I'm sorry, my left front tire. The bearing was going out. I don't know what that means. I'm not a car guy. But I can take it to somebody who can tell me what it means. So I take it to Robertson's Tires, which is a chain, and it's right down the street from my house. I said, guys, can you give me an estimate on the front end of what it's going to take to get this thing fixed? He comes back with an estimate of $601.
Ouch.
$601.00. I'm ready to fucking shoot somebody's dog, man. I'm fucking depressed. I'm fucking pissed. Come home, call my brother. I'm like, what the fuck? He said, call John. I said, okay. Well, John is a guy that helped me. I say help me. John did all the mechanical work. I did all the interior work. And we rebuilt a Jeep Cherokee that we picked up for $300. I turned around and sold it for $2,000. Just as a project. And so he's my mechanic whenever it's something that doesn't require a press, like this bearing has to be pressed in by a machine. Well, only mechanics have that. So he's no good to me on this, although he does know what he's talking about. So I call him, and he says, oh, man, $600, you're getting raped. I said, that's kind of what I felt like. My butthole hurt when I walked out of the place today.
You got traded for Marlboros, man.
Yeah. Getting passed around in the yard like fresh fish. And he says, no. He says, go down to this other place called Fat Daddy's and tell him I sent you. So I take the list, and I go down there this morning at 8 o'clock, and he laughs. And he goes, hold on a minute, I'll be right back. He goes over, puts a jack under my car, moves the wheel. He goes, yeah, the bearing's loose, the tire's moving, so you're going to have to replace that. He goes, I don't know how long you got. Could be 6 days, could be 6 months, could be 6 years, don't know. But it's always going to vibrate like that until you fix it. And what it does when you drive, it goes, whoa, 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 and then you can feel the play in the wheel while you're driving, which I don't like. Can't get over 40 mile an hour or else the car starts shaking. And literally, the wheel could fall fucking off. I mean, that's just that's the end result. So he goes into his office, comes back out, and gives me a quote of $200 to do the same work.
Damn, those guys are nice, man. They want to make a $400 profit off of you, man. That's the place you want to go work right there.
Yeah. He goes, the thing about it is, he goes, I wouldn't be surprised if they fucking fuck shit up just to charge you. And I said, well, I don't want to deal with anybody like that. And he goes, yeah, they're not good over there, man. He goes, they're not good people.
Well,
and
here's the ironic part of everything here. You know, I just got my car back from the shop, what, a week ago, 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
Right before my brother and sister-in-law came down. And I got a new fuel pump that cost me, what, about $500?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm driving the thing around yesterday, day before yesterday. And I look down and just happen to notice that my check engine light comes on.
Mm-mm.
And it's staying on. But I there's nothing wrong with the car as far as, like, I can't tell that anything's wrong. Because every now and then it'll be like the gas cap, you know, like it'll be loose or something and it'll do the check engine light. So I filled up the car today thinking, all right, I'm going to, you know, readjust the cap. I'm driving it around. I'm going to have to get it back to Russ and see if he can figure out what's going on with it. But it's running fine. It's not vibrating. It's not doing anything that it shouldn't be doing. I'm thinking it might be an electrical glitch, but I'm having to check it out anyway. But just unreal, man. I think I'm going to have to trade this one off and get a new one. It's pushing 10 years old. I've had it since 2004. I bought it brand new, so might have to do something else. But while we're rambling, before we actually get to the wrestling talk, we actually do have someone on the line with us. We probably should bring him in. He's been waiting patiently for about 15
minutes.
Bring
out the bees! Now.
Bring out the bees, ladies and gentlemen. It's the unofficial third leg of the tripod, or the third wing of the tripad, if you will.
Third piece of the Triforce.
Or the third piece of the Triforce. Why not? He is, of course, the Bronx Father, Tony Mirabella.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Now, which one of your third member, third piece, third pad, third wing do you like the most?
Oh, I don't care. I'm just glad to be here. I've been, you know, hearing the stories you guys have, it actually makes me feel better, first of all.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking while JJ was talking. And I was like, the best thing about this opening segment is that we're making everybody else feel like they had a great day.
No shit.
I just like to say, JJ, man, I'm sorry for your loss, bro. I read that on Facebook, and I was like, God, really? Again? You know, I'm sorry to hear that, man. And like Trey said, it messes with me because so young. How old did you say your cuz was? 23?
26. Man.
Because I'm like 34. I'm going on 35 in like a little over a month, and I'm like, damn, wow. That sucks.
Like, yep. I said, you know, he's been suffering for a long time. He's been a lot of pain, and he's a strong kid, and he's you know, he's fought it well, and unfortunately it just was his time to go, you know. And like I said, I hope that, you know, my dad was right there to meet him, you know, when he entered heaven, and I'm sure he was because they were close. And, you know, that's the only comfort that I take in this.
Well, you know, like I said, when my mom passed away and when JFK finally passed away, you know, watching – not so much my mom because I wasn't home for a lot of it, but for what I watched of JSK, man, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I mean, I wouldn't wish the disease, and I wouldn't wish the person that has to watch it happen either, because it's not good. And that was the one thing that I, you know, was happy to know, was that he wasn't in any more pain, you know. And, you know, like they said at the funeral, can you imagine that guy getting his wings in heaven? Holy shit.
I agree.
So, just, you know, life happens, man, and it's what you make of it. And like I said, I was, it was just nice for a change today to be off. And, you know, I didn't have to, my sleep schedule wasn't all screwed up. I came home and took a nap after I got back from the mechanic because I'd only had about 4 hours sleep. I slept till about, 2 o'clock, got up, grabbed something to eat, put in some Madden 13, and played some Madden 13 today. It was nice just to sit on my ass and be a kid again playing video games.
Well, true that. I guess since we've wasted about the first 30 minutes of the show talking about just random stuff, because we do that on this particular show. Because really,
that's because we don't talk during the week.
We don't talk during the week, and honestly, I mean, you and I both talked about this. We're kind of getting to the point where, what's the point anymore with wrestling? I mean, it's not the product we grew up on. It's, you know, I wouldn't say it's better. I'd say it's gotten progressively worse over the last little bit. And, you know, it's just one thing that we're having a hard time trying to, you know, wrap our heads around. But with that being said, we do need to go ahead and jump into the Monday Night Raw recap, courtesy of the Bronx Father, Tony Mirabella.
It's time for your WNL Monday Night Raw recap with Don Bronx, the Bronx Father.
Right side crowd, you need to go down. Everybody get loud.
Raw started off last night in Milwaukee.
And Milwaukee?
Yes, sir. And apparently, this thing between Jerry Lawler and CM Punk just won't go away. As Jerry Lawler comes out and addresses CM Punk, and then CM Punk comes out and addresses Jerry.
As we went off the air on the 1,000th edition of Raw, I made a remark that CM Punk later described as a derogatory remark, and I admitted that I may have misspoke. So, last week when CM Punk came out here and demanded that I get in the ring and apologize to him, I thought, out of respect for the WWE Championship, it's no big deal. So I came in the ring. I apologized to CM Punk, after which I got kicked in the head from behind. So last week, I apologized to CM Punk. This week, I want an apology from CM Punk.
You want the WWE champion to apologize for doing his job? I'm sorry that all it takes to get in the WWE Hall of Fame is to beat a bunch of nobodies from Memphis, to get into a slap fight with a Hollywood comedian, to act like a juvenile, infantile 14-year-old for your entire 23-year career here in WWE. I'm sorry that your jealousy and lack of respect for me stems from never being WWE champion yourself. And I'm sorry that when you finally got your big WrestleMania moment, you couldn't beat Michael Cole. I'm sorry I'm raising my voice right now, and I'm sorry that you've become the WWE's circus seal, ready to regurgitate and repeat any stupid opinion that's barked into your ear. Most of all, I'm sorry about the man you've become.
So CM Punk, kind of going back to his pipe bomb days, and basically says to Lawler, you know, if you want to fight tonight, we'll fight. And Lawler says, I'll think about it. So that continues. Our first match, we have Jack Swagger versus Ryback. And, of course, Ryback goes over, and Jack Swagger's losing streak continues. We had a Divas match, Natalya versus Layla. During the match, Vicky comes out and says, get this over with. I've got something important to say. Layla wins, and Vicky says she should be the Raw GM and that the board should get rid of AJ, who's a mentally deranged child. AJ just comes out and starts beating the living shit out of Vicky. And that's how that segment ends. We show the first segment of Daniel Bryan in anger management class. I won't even get into that part of this. Lawler goes on the mic and says that all those nobodies he beat were Harley Race, Jesse Ventura, etc. And he says he'll fight CM Punk tonight. John Cena versus The Miz, in which The Miz got in a ton of offense, but of course he can't beat the three finishing moves of Doom, and John Cena goes over and wins. AJ tells us that the stipulation in the Lawler-Punk main event will be decided by the fans via Twitter, either a tables match, a cage match, or a no DQ match. Daniel Bryan is shown again in therapy when Kane walks in and just sits down. Heath Slater versus Santino Marella. Santino wins even though Oksana tries to distract the Cobra. Brodus Clay and Sin Cara versus Damian Sandow with Cody Rhodes. Brodus Clay and Sin Cara get the win. And we are shown yet again the anger management session by Daniel Bryan. And Kane is in there, and I just thought that this was really funny. Kane talks about his past, kind of brought me back to the Attitude Era, and this got a damn loud chuckle out of me.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles. Years ago, I had a girlfriend named Katie, but let's just say that that didn't turn out so well. My real father is a guy named Paul Bearer, who I recently trapped in a meat locker. I've been married, divorced, broke up my ex-wife's wedding, and tombstoned the priest. And for reasons never quite explained, I have an unhealthy obsession with torturing Pete Rose.
And there you have it, Kane and Anger Management. I thought that was, I thought it was funny. Some people may disagree, but our next match, we have R-Truth versus Daniel Bryan. And during the match, Truth grabs the mic and starts to talk crap to Daniel Bryan, yells, yes, yes, yes. Bryan, of course, snaps, starts yelling, no, no, no. And R-Truth wins via countout while Daniel Bryan is distracted by the fans who are talking shit to him. Now we have our moment of the night where Triple H comes out and is going to announce whether he's going to retire or not. And a very emotional promo, which is kind of like the one Shawn cut a week or two ago. And Triple H addresses the fans and his possible future.
I never wanted to be the guy that was just hanging out. Never wanted to be the guy that hung on too long, the guy that was just waiting for the nostalgia pop. I never wanted to be the guy that was, quite frankly, just getting in the ring because someone was willing to write him a check. I never wanted to hang on too long. I didn't want to be the guy that was just too beat up and too crippled inside to be able to hold his own kids. I never wanted to be the punch drunk fighter that couldn't have a life when this was over. That being said, for the first time in my career, I find myself at that crossroad. And Brock Lesnar has made me ask the question, am I done? No, the answer is, I don't know, you know. I'm beat up. I'm probably more tired than I've ever been in my life. I'm broken again. You know, what I want to do is I want to come out in this ring and I want to be the Cerebral Assassin. I want to be the King of Kings. I want to be the Game. I want to be Triple H. I want to tell you I am going to rise up again and I am going to kick Brock Lesnar's ass because that is what I do. I want to do, but I can't. And the truth is, it's because I don't know if I can. You all gave me the reaction every night, and for that, I will never, ever forget each and every one of you. And hopefully, if I've succeeded at all in my career, hopefully, then I have done something in this ring, and hopefully in some way you'll never forget me. Thank you.
So Triple H not making it perfectly clear if he's done or not. I have a theory about why that promo went down the way it did, but I'll get to that later. We have another match, which is Alberto Del Rio teaming up with Dolph Ziggler versus Randy Orton and your WWE heavyweight champion, Sheamus. Sheamus and Randy Orton go over when Rodriguez tries to give Dolph Ziggler the briefcase, but Orton catches it and manages to break that up, and our faces get the win. in the Zack Ryder versus David Otunga match, Kane comes out for commentary, which is funny because he says nothing. Zack Ryder gets the win. Kane jumps in the ring. He starts off by looking like he's going to choke slam Ryder, but he ends up choke slamming Otunga instead. We have our cage match as the stipulation for the Jerry Lawler CM Punk main event. AJ comes out and says that CM Punk, regardless of whether he likes it or not, he will defend his title at Night of Champions against John Cena. Again, our main event is in a steel cage. CM Punk wins over Jerry Lawler with the Anaconda Vice. He won't let it go. CM Punk goes, he grabs a chain, he locks the door to the cage and tries to force the King to say that he's the best in the world by torturing him in the ring. King says, hell no. When Cena comes out for the save, and for the life of me, I can't realize why Cena just didn't climb the cage to save Jerry Lawler, but he doesn't. They end up lifting the cage, and CM Punk leaves Jerry Lawler laying in the ring, and that's how we end Monday Night Raw. So there you have it.
A couple thoughts here that I want to convey as far as Monday Night Raw is concerned. And I've said this before, and I'm sticking to my guns. I am not a fan of AJ Lee as the general manager. I'm just not. I don't like what she brings to the table. I mean, as the crazy character, I'm fine with that. I think she does a good job with it. Not enjoying her wearing her damn power suit, skipping to the fucking ring. I'm sick of the damn theme song. I just do not like her as the general manager. To further that point even further, you got Vicky Guerrero, who comes down during the Divas match and completely shits all over the Divas. Look, if you're going to have a Divas division, at least try to do something with them. If you're going to mock them as a company, then why do you even have them? I mean, it kind of stuck in my craw. Not that I'm a big advocate for the Divas division, because I too think it sucks. But if it was my company, I'd be putting it over and not shitting all over it by having Vicky Guerrero come down and shit on the girls who were in the ring and then have a stupid fight between AJ and Vicky.
Well, I mean, Cole's been shitting on the Divas division for over a year now. This is basically the same shit Cole was doing when he did it at least 3-4 times during a Divas match, saying he had something to say and hurry it up. Basically, they just gave that role to Vicky. But you're right, I agree. You know, why take it seriously when the company doesn't?
You know, and I mean, there are some good workers in that division. Now, granted, there are some that are not that great. But, you know, I'm just tired of them shitting on it. If you're going to shit on it, then fucking get rid of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's kind of obviously the setup here is going to be some sort of match between Vicky and AJ. And it's probably going to have something to do with the general manager position. So we'll see where that goes. What else was I wanting to talk about? The Triple H speech. You know, I like the intensity. I like some of the things he did. I don't necessarily agree with everything that Arda Ocal says, but I'm going to back his play on something. He brought up the fact that when Triple H basically told the audience, thank you for letting me play the game, I kind of threw up in my mouth a little bit too. Of all the things he could have said, I don't agree with that statement. You know, I mean, it was kind of cheesy. Yes, it's his catchphrase. It didn't come off very sincere when he brought that out. Where are they going with this? Is he done? We don't know. They left it very open-ended. I thought they did a good job with the speech, except for that one part. I don't think Triple H is done. I think he's got at least one more match in him, maybe two or three. But I think that the time is coming for him to go ahead and put on those suits and put the tights away, because he is in a position where he's going to be the guy that's the heir apparent that's taking over this company and taking it in another direction. And you really don't want your booker still wrestling and still trying to, you know, put his priorities first. Not that Triple H would do that, because I've seen him put more people over in the last couple of years than he has his entire career. But I'd rather see him as one or the other.
Well, I'll agree with you on that, but what I took from the speech, you know, the whole time he's talking about how he's tired and he's hurt, and what I'd like to tell you is I'd like to tell you I'm going to come back and I'm going to get better and I'm going to kick his ass and blah, 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 but I can't. what I'm taking from this is I look at the WWE roster, and I go, well, other than Brock Lesnar and, you know, Super Cena, who could you not beat? Still at your age. You know, you're still in better shape than a lot of the guys, you know.
Right.
I didn't like the way they played it out, like, poor whole old, you know, humble me. Because at the end of the day, he still battered most of the people on that fucking roster.
Yeah, you're right. He is. But I don't want to see Triple H become the next Ric Flair where he's going to be wrestling when he's 60 years old.
No, but I would have rather him come out and said, hey, look, you know, it's no secret. I'm the, you know, I'm the COO or whatever he is, the C whatever the fuck he calls himself of the company. You know, my priorities as, you know, an adult are changing. I've got X amount of kids that I've got to make sure I can provide for the rest of my life and theirs. And getting in here and getting my arm broken doesn't do that. Can I still go? Yes. Can I still wrestle with the best of them? You damn right I can. But there comes a time in every wrestler's career where they've got to hang them up. And I'd rather hang them up Barry Sanders style and be able to walk and play with my kids and not be in pain than come home every week with a different cast on a different part of my body. And I just, you know, at this time, I'll be in the front office. You'll see me every once in a while when it, you know, pertains to me making an appearance involving, you know, a contract signing or booking a match. But right now I'm taking off my tights. I'm putting on a tie. And I'm going to run this company to the best of its ability. So you will keep coming back and, you know, being a part of our audience.
Well, you know, I think it's been rumored. It's been speculated, you know, not to feed the rumor mill, but it's being speculated that Triple H is ready to pretty much hang him up. And I think that they've already set a storyline in motion for him to have that hoorah, that final match at WrestleMania, if they can bring Shawn Michaels out of retirement for a one-night-only match against Triple H. Which, I got to be honest, I would love to see a one-on-one confrontation between Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, but how do you set that up now?
You've already put the seeds in place.
How?
With the whole Triple H getting his arm broken, Shawn Michaels getting his arm broken, Shawn coming out and saying, well, you know, there's no shame in retiring. You've done everything you can. You know, obviously, Triple H's pride is going to be on the line. You could probably do something to further it. I just think they've taken the baby steps. If they choose to forward the storyline, they've already got a foundation for that to work.
They could have done it last night if he had just looked over his shoulder and seen that Shawn was better than you, son.
Well, there you go. So,
well, my thing was, I'm kind of shocked because I didn't have too much of a problem with him telling the fans, thank you for letting me play the game. Because even as a babyface, one thing Triple H has never really been good at doing, and I'm sure it's intentional, is kind of giving that bow to the fans, that nod to the fans. And I think by saying that, the crowd went ape shit nuts. And, you know, it was really a show of respect to his fans. But what I also like what they did was he didn't come straight out and say, I'm going to retire, because Shawn has that curse now. Every time there's a chance that Shawn may come back, whether he is or isn't, right away the IWC, oh, fuck, Shawn said he'd never wrestle again. And one more match, really? And then it doesn't happen. And then another scenario comes along. A fucking Shawn Michaels, here he go again. He's going to wrestle again. And then he doesn't. What I think they did last night was they did a good job of Triple H not ever becoming a hypocrite. Because if he does come back for that one more match, he can always say, listen, I never said I was done for sure.
Well, now, hold on. One more match and a retirement are two completely different things. It's one thing to bring a guy out of retirement for one more match. He gets pushed to the limit. Somebody gets in his craw and says something that you know, pokes him the wrong way. You know, I have no problem with a guy saying, okay, I'm coming back for one night only. You know, it's another thing if Shawn Michaels comes back and says, well, I tried this retirement thing. It didn't work. Now, if he does it as many times as Terry Funk does, I can see the credibility being gone. But the thing about Shawn Michaels you have to respect is that he has retired. He has other things that he's doing. And I think that's the big difference. When you look at a guy like Terry Funk or Ric Flair who's been retired how many times, I don't know. I think Terry Funk's got like 20 different retirements he's had. You know, I mean, here's a guy that when he says he's retired, he stayed retired. He's come back and he's done this and that. He's delivered a super kick to Del Rio. He's done this and that. But I don't see a one-off match that could be Triple H's career-ending match being something he's going to do to come out of retirement. It would be a one-night-only thing. And I think they could get away with that, and people would be like, oh, okay. Next day he's gone. He's back to filming his TV show. He's doing whatever he's doing in his life, raising his kids, hanging out with his wife, doing whatever. He's not on the full-time roster. Now, if he comes back and wrestles full-time, then people can bitch about, well, he said he was going to retire and never come back, and look at this shit. Anybody that feels different, you have your own opinions, and I don't really care. I'm giving you mine.
Well, yeah, and I respect your opinion, but still, I think that you're smart. You've got a lot of people in the IWC who are like, oh, fucking Shawn Michaels going to go. What I would love to see them do, I'd love to see, and I know from a booking standpoint, I'm going to get shit on, because face versus face, people want to say never work. But I'd love to see something set up where Shawn is adamant about getting Triple H in the ring one more time, just to prove to him that he doesn't have to go out like that. And maybe we even have a segment where Shawn and Taker are talking, and he says to Taker, listen, you know, I need to do this. Triple H is my best friend in the entire world. I know I gave you my word, but I really, if you say no, cool, I'll respect that. But I have to give Triple H his last match. This is what he wants. And you have Taker cool with it and say, all right, Shawn, you know, I know you made me a promise, but I know the history between you guys. I'm okay with it. That would be really cool. And at WrestleMania, you have a face Triple H versus a face Shawn Michaels in nothing but a match about respect. I think it could work with those two because they're so huge.
Well, you've had face versus face at WrestleMania before. Does anybody remember the Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 6? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
That was a face-versus-face encounter. And despite the fact that there was limited ring time, the story in that match was incredible.
Right.
So, I mean, you could have that, but we're talking two of the best workers ever in the business. Face-versus-face at a WrestleMania. Hell yeah. It could work. But that's just my two cents on it. Something else that from Raw that kind of bothered me a little bit. I know that there was some speculation. I know that I read something today that Michael Cole got into some heat for not selling the fact that a Rock Bottom was delivered to Jerry Lawler by CM Punk. This is a move that he's done. He's done a version of the Rock Bottom over the length of his career in the WWE. That's how he sets up for the Anaconda Vice. I mean, fuck, it's been in the WWE video games for the last 5 years now.
Wow.
So for them to, like, I guess get so anal over this, just, I'm laughing. But I mean, if you really want to sell the point that he was doing a Rock Bottom to send a message to The Rock, who's not even around at this point, I don't know that that was the indication that they wanted to pull out. If that was, then, you know, hey, maybe I'm wrong here, but he's been doing that move for quite a while now.
Right.
I find it funny that there was some big hoorah over it today.
Oh, wow. That's grasping at straws.
And speaking of hoorah, go ahead, Trey.
I was going to say, with us not being there, we don't know how much of a hoorah was really brought up.
Speaking of hoorah, I know there was a lengthy section on the Facebook page today, courtesy of former host of the Pro Wrestling Rewind, the Power Andy Knowles, talking about The Miz and him being an awesome IC champion. He got his ass beat by John Cena. I must have watched a different match than Andy Knowles because
The Miz owned Cena the entire bell to bell.
He had like three near pinfalls over John Cena. And yeah, he got hit with a couple moves of doom at the end and jobbed clean to John Cena. But at the same time, you know, I know Andy was going off on a tirade about how this, you know, discredits the Intercontinental Championship, and, you know, why if The Miz is getting this big push, and I don't get that, because if The Miz was getting a big push, he'd be in line for the championship. He's the Intercontinental Champion. He's the mid-card placeholder right now, and he's bringing a little bit of prestige back to that belt by defending that belt against top-tier contenders like Rey Mysterio. you know, guys that
my only
been.
Beef with that whole thing is why was he in, why was he even fighting Cena to begin with?
Well, because they want Cena to look strong going into Night of Champions. And what's the best way to do that is put him over the top talent on Raw. Your Intercontinental Champion is a big deal on Monday Night Raw. So by beating The Miz, John Cena goes in with a win to Night of Champions, and it's just giving him a winning streak going into it so that he is solidified as a strong number one contender to the WWE Championship. It's just booking 101.
True, but John Cena could come out the next 3 weeks and just do promos and look strong going into the Night of Champions.
That's true, but from a booking standpoint, you want to put him over your top guys in the company. And by doing that, I don't think it...
I understand what you're saying, but I think if I were doing it, I don't know that I'd put him over my Intercontinental Champion.
Well, but it doesn't hurt The Miz to lose to John Cena, because really,
no,
who doesn't
really,
lose to John Cena?
Because it's John Cena, and because he's like the Babe Ruth of wrestling right now.
I mean, even Randy Savage, when he was the Intercontinental Champion, was losing matches to Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not hurting him to lose to John Cena. Now, if Miz lost to, like, I don't know, Zack Ryder or Santino, yeah, it's going to hurt The Miz a little bit. But I see where they're going with this. And, you know, like I said, it's just, I don't know, Andy likes to just hate on The Miz. I still think it's because he has this infatuation with that ex-girlfriend of his from Montreal, the French-Canadian, and the fact that Miz is with the French-Canadian. I think that's his big problem there. It's just, it's kind of crazy.
He's extremely butthurt over the guy.
He is. He will like, bitch randomly about him. I hate John Cena, but you don't see me bitching about it.
Well, not all the time, anyway.
Well, you don't see me on Facebook every day posting, oh, fucking John Cena, da da da. Have I done
John
it in the past?
Cena took a drink of water today. That son of a bitch.
What a son of a bitch. How dare he drink some fucking water? How dare he fucking breathe?
John Cena took a shit and didn't spray. How rude of him.
You breathing motherfucker.
Fucking mouth breeder. I don't know, man. I didn't see any problem with the Miz-John Cena match. Should they have put John Cena over the Miz? I think so, yes. They had to kind of make John Cena look a little strong there. But again, at the same time, I don't think that loss hurts the Miz at all. I just don't see it. And let me be real honest, I do not like the anger management segments. The thing that Kane did was fine, but I'm just really not enjoying the fucking skit shit. I watch wrestling to watch wrestling. Unfortunately, I'm watching it for the wrong reasons.
Well, and again, it goes back to we're watching a product that is a shadow of its former self, a shell of its former self, rather. You know, this isn't the Attitude Era, which is what we, you know, really didn't grow up watching, but became diehard fans during.
Well, but see, I grew up even watching before the Attitude Era. I was big into the days when, you know, the late 80s when Hogan was running around and you had the Warrior and you had the Honky Tonk Man and the Million Dollar Man.
Yeah, but
Man.
You also played with action figures and had somebody cooking your dinner for you. You had a bedtime.
Absolutely, but I also remember
homework.
But I also remember prior to the Attitude days, the Diesel era and the Shawn Michaels and Mr. Perfect. You know, I remember all those guys in the WWE Federation era, you know, prior to the Attitude era, and I was a fan of that. But I just find myself losing touch with the current product. It's hard for me to watch sometimes, folks.
Yeah, I mean, last night I contemplated taking a nap during Raw and watching it on the replay today.
You know, so much so that when I watch Raw on Monday nights, I'm actually playing a game on my computer. Yeah. And it's on in the background, and if I miss something, I really don't care. It's just to that point. I'm waiting for something to really grab my attention and make me say, this is why I watch the product. And right now, I'm not getting that. Sad but true.
No, I agree.
You know, I got to admit, that if it wasn't for TNA, I wouldn't be watching wrestling at all probably right now. You know, but the same person can turn around and go, oh, well, I hate TNA. Well, motherfucker, I don't like a lot of the shit a lot of people like, and I don't expect you to like a lot of things that I like, but, you know, it is what it is. Everybody's going to be different.
This is true.
Now, I don't mind discussing TNA with somebody who's actually watched the product and has a legitimate argument about it. But just to repeat the same regurgitated bullshit, I got no time for people like that.
Now, I will say this, something that has sparked my interest, just my curiosity, just a little bit from last night. Jack Swagger, Ryback.
Yeah, there was something about that match.
There was, because as the match ended and Ryback got the win, Jack Swagger is sitting up against the ring barrier. And he says, that's it. That's it. So it makes me think either he's done or there's something that he's going to do that's going to change. And maybe Jack Swagger is going to go somewhere, rebuild his character, and, you know, maybe be a force to be reckoned with. I don't know. But you saw the frustration in Jack Swagger last night, and I hope that leads
to
something.
I thought something earlier, way early in the match when he was coming to the ring. You know, the match hadn't even started yet, and they were acknowledging the fact that he was on such a losing streak. And I thought to myself, anytime they acknowledge the losing streak, things are about to happen.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping that he's not going to go film a movie called How Jack Swagger Got His Swagger Back, or How Jack Got His Swagger Back.
Oh, no.
I mean, that'd be a perfect title for a movie, though, you know, How Stella Got Her Groove Back, you know?
How Jack Got His Swagger Back.
That's right.
Could be interesting. All right, Miss Swagger.
There you go.
If it's not a work, I mean, then Jack needs to start looking at the indies or ROH or TNA. Because
it's a work, Bronx.
It's a work, Bronx.
Pro wrestling is a work, for those of you who didn't know.
When they split him away from Vicky and Dolph, it was destined that one of them had to suck while one of them flourished.
And you know what? I think they made the biggest mistake ever with that. They should have kept Swagger with Vicky. Mm-hmm. They should have turned the tables and made Dolph the babyface and got, you know, had a feud with both Swagger and Ziggler for a while. I really think they dropped the ball there. I really feel like they dropped the ball.
I agree wholeheartedly.
And, sorry, Bronx. And I love the fact that, you know, people are now chanting "Feed me more" to Ryback. I think they're talking about steroids more than they are food.
What was that, Arby's?
I don't know about that, but they're definitely
Arby's
talking about
today
some
that they're going to have their 5 for $5 special all year long in sponsorship of Ryback.
I will never understand how Ryback sounds like a sandwich from Arby's. I think fucking Maverick was high the night he said that shit.
I don't know.
What's up with Ryback's eye? I mean, I've had surgery, but, like, his eye, first it was red, really fucked up, and then even last night you could see, I believe it was his left eye, I can't remember, still is bruised and fucked up.
That's where Brock punched him in the fucking head, man. Where the fuck you been?
I thought that was all bullshit, though.
No, it's fucking true.
Okay. No, they got into it backstage, and Brock popped him and said, "Who's your daddy?"
Brock whooped that ass.
Okay. See, I had heard conflicting rumors that was bullshit at first.
That's because the WWE don't want you to know that it fucking happened.
Maybe.
It's bad PR. But he got his little ass fucking beat by fucking Brock. He said the wrong thing and did the wrong thing, and Brock popped him.
He said, "Feed me more," and Brock said, "I got some more."
How about a knuckle sandwich, bitch?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people I talk.
Put a knuckle sandwich on the menu at Arby's, bitch.
Yeah, talking shit to Brock, not a good idea.
Yeah, walking backstage and saying, "Feed me more" to Brock, probably is going to get you punched in the face. Just saying.
It's going to be interesting to see where they go with the Brock Lesnar thing, because he took his ball and went home again.
I know. How stupid was that? I meant to comment on that last week before I left the show, but, you know, I mean, of all the things you could do, I've decided I've done everything there is. Really, Brock? You're not going after a championship? You come back. You don't want to be the champion?
You got beat by Cena, but you lost. You lost to Cena, but you beat Triple H. And now you've accomplished everything you came back to accomplish.
Yeah, you've got nothing left to prove. You came back and beat one guy.
Your lawsuits on the company that you fought so hard for to get it to be called Monday Night Raw, featuring Brock Lesnar. Now that you've won the match, and you know the whole deal was over those fucking stipulations anyway. You know, that's the whole reason why him and Triple H even started talking and arguing, which led to the fight.
I agree.
Now that you've won the fight, you forgot about all that?
I agree.
Or are we just supposed to forget all that?
Well, we're supposed to forget all that. I mean, but you go back and you watch the match Extreme Rules between Brock and John Cena. I mean, Brock owned him. It was just the matter of, you know, John Cena getting the pinfall, which I thought was, you know, would have been okay if he would have sold the fact that Brock beat the shit out of him. But he gets up and cuts this promo. Well, you know, I might be gone for a while, but hey, I'm okay. You know, and I'm like, wow. Way to make Brock look like a punk.
Note for WrestleMania. Let's see. WrestleMania, we're at 28 or 29?
29.
Okay. So WrestleMania 48 or 49. Book it now. Snooki's kid will be involved in WrestleMania.
The apocalypse is coming, folks.
Well, no, at WrestleMania 40-something, we'll have found a way to live forever, and you'll have just, you know, John Cena as a skeleton coming out and defending, you know, the title. That's what we're going to
well,
have.
I hope, Bronx, that in 20-some years that the guy's not dead.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I didn't mean it to sound like that. I'm just saying, I mean...
Sometimes, you know what I would love to do sometimes? I'd like to put a shock collar on you, like they put on dogs. And whenever you say something stupid, I just want to shock you with it. Go, all right, now see there, you should have thought before you said something.
But I mean, it's like, you know, Cena Punk again. I don't know, man.
They got nobody else.
Yeah, but whose fault is that?
Well, it's not ours.
No, but I mean, I'm just saying. How many times does, and you know, Punk makes a good point. He's beaten Cena how many times in a row now? When does it get to the point, like back in the day, where you have to climb the ladder again? I mean, it's like, all right, I'm the number one contender. I lost. I'm still the number one contender. I lost. I'm still the number one contender. I lost.
Well, look at Alberto Del Rio. That motherfucker's been the number one contender since he's been in the company.
You know what? I mean, you make a good point, but I got to be honest here, and I'm not looking forward to this, but I think John Cena's taking that belt at Night of Champions.
I got a feeling. Yeah.
I got a feeling he's going to win the belt, and I think Punk's going to get it back by probably in December, or maybe the Survivor Series. I don't know. He's going to – I really believe.
But you got to remember, we still have to tie somehow The Rock into the title picture. Because he's going to face the champion, whomever it may be, at Royal Rumble. Now, is that where they do Rock Cena 2, or is that where they do Rock CM Punk?
Well, the rumor going around is that Vince wants to do Cena and Rock at WrestleMania again. But I'm also hearing that they may have John Cena take the title, hold it to the Royal Rumble, and get beat by... by The Rock again, which would be fucking stupid. Because your end game here, if you're going to have another match between the two, you've got to put Cena over. You didn't do that the first time. How do you make it bigger and really make it matter to John Cena? You have him beat The Rock for the title.
Well, you got to have The Rock. You got to have Cena go over on the next one to set up the rubber match, the third one at the big one at WrestleMania.
Damn. I was just going to say that. Trey beat me to it.
but see, you're not
going
to have...
I mean, you're talking about Wrestling 101.
But you're not going to have that match before that one. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it'd be great.
Well, what I'm saying is, somehow between the Royal Rumble and now, Cena gets the belt. It's easy to do. It's fucking many main events that the goddamn guy's been in. It's real easy to put the belt on him before Rumble.
Well, I'll be
and
real honest
you just,
with you.
You know, you put The Rock against Cena... At the Rumble, Cena goes over. The Rock starts cutting promos of, that's not going to cut it. I didn't fulfill my destiny. I made a goal. I made a promise. I want you at WrestleMania. And Cena says, all right, the way I look at it, you know, I'm a sports guy. It's 1-1. Winner take all at Mania. Boom, there you go.
I'm going to tell you right now, I think it's more beneficial, and this is just my opinion. Agree with me, disagree, I really don't care. But I think it's more beneficial if you're going to put the title on The Rock at the Royal Rumble that the guy that beats him at WrestleMania is CM Punk. Because John Cena has been on top of this business for the last 10 years.
Cena doesn't need the win to be over. Punk could use that momentum.
Punk could use the momentum because he is, for all intents and purposes, the leader of the next generation here. You know, he's far younger than John Cena, and he's got... a lot of years racked up in being the top guy in this company. What better way to put CM Punk over than to have him beat The Rock for the title at WrestleMania?
I got a feeling somehow you're going to see Sheamus and Taker at WrestleMania.
We'll see.
Wow. We'll see. That one.
Well, he's made it, you know, obviously known that he would love to face The Undertaker. And a guy like Sheamus could be the guy that would end the streak. I mean, he's young enough. He's got a lot of years left in the business. If you're going to have anybody end it, I'd say a guy like a Sheamus would be the guy.
Right.
Because you've got to build those stars of the future. Cena won't be around forever. Triple H is already phasing himself out. I mean, we're on the precipice of building new stars and having a new era in professional wrestling.
Yes. I would like to see a guy like Alberto Del Rio wrestle The Undertaker.
No, I don't know how great a match that would be. I could see Undertaker just barreling over Del Rio.
Well, yeah, but I mean, from a character standpoint of, you know, he's that guy that, you know, has to do it all. He has to be able to. He has to say, "I've done it all." I don't know.
That's true. But I guess before we wrap up the Raw recap, which we're going to do here momentarily, I guess we should do letter grades. Trey, you want to start things off?
Yeah, I there were some good things about Raw last night. There were some bad things about Raw last night. I, you know, didn't really hate anything. So I think just to be fair, I'm going to give it a C+, almost a B-, but I'll give it a C+.
Before I go to Bronx, I'm looking at the chat room and... Anthony Farley says, what about Dolph Ziggler versus Undertaker? No.
No, brought that up a while back, but then it didn't make any sense then.
I would rather see, in all honesty, if you're going to have a Dolph Ziggler match at a WrestleMania, on the biggest stage of them all, I don't want to see him wrestle a guy like The Undertaker. That'd be a Shawn Michaels match right there. Shawn versus Dolph Ziggler.
No.
That's a WrestleMania match. I don't want to see Jericho and Dolph. We've already seen it, and it wasn't that great. But Shawn Michaels and Dolph, sure, why not? Definitely not The Undertaker. I just don't see that happening. Bronx, what was your letter grade?
I'll go with Trey. I'll give it a C+. Wasn't a great Raw. Wasn't a terrible Raw. But then again, pay-per-view's a few weeks off. So I'll give them a pass with it not being that compelling. They set up some stuff for the future. I'm interested to see where it goes. But all in all, C+. I'll agree with Trey.
For what it was, I'll give it a B-. It wasn't a horrible show. Like I said, I just don't feel like it's reaching me. My kids love it, mind you. You know, I wasn't real big on the Heath Slater, who had a pretty good rub with all the legends.
One man band, baby.
Getting beaten by Santino Marella, and the whole Maurice Santino thing is stupid to me. What's the purpose of this? Considering she's with Antonio Cesaro, he's already won the belt from the guy. I mean, obviously they're setting up for a rematch at Night of Champions, but I can't stand Oksana. I really can't. I fucking hate that every time she walks on screen, you got that fucking porno music fucking hitting. You know, like that seductive, she's about to do a burlesque dance and she doesn't. I'm so sick of the fucking character.
Don't tease me, kiddies, and not give them to me.
Well, exactly. Exactly. I'm just not a fan of Oksana. I'm not a fan of Santino. I know the kids love him and they eat him up, but I could give two shits about Santino Marella.
If you're Heath Slater, you got to be sitting there thinking, man, I went through all that bullshit with all those legends. Now, granted, that was fun, but, you know, I went through all that shit, let every one of them beat me. I even took a pinfall from fucking Lita at WrestleMania. And it led to nowhere but me getting beat by fucking Santino.
On a fluke. On a fluke, because the Cobra had a mind of its own. Santino was about to get rolled up, and the Cobra turned around and fucking hit Heath Slater. So the interference that Oksana did didn't benefit Heath Slater. It benefited Santino. It just annoys the crap out of me. I'm a guy who didn't like Heath Slater in the beginning, but I got to say, I'm digging the kid. And to lose to Santino is the kiss of death.
Rod says, the Attitude Era, we just saw Oksana's titties already.
I still remember watching a pay-per-view, and I have it on tape somewhere. It was, I'm trying to remember what month it was. This was back in, I'm going to say, 98. It was called Capital Carnage, and it was from the UK. And there was a match with Sable and Jacqueline.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacqueline ends up getting put on the referee's shoulders. And Sable strips away her top, and them fucking titties are out, buddy.
I mean, them motherfuckers was out.
Yes, they was out big time.
That was bigger than your head.
The nipples were bigger than your fucking head.
I mean, them motherfuckers, her titties were all muscle.
Well, maybe what's going on is Oksana is mystified because some snakes do have two penises. So maybe the cobra has two, you know?
I'm not even going to ask how you know a snake has a penis.
I watch Animal Planet, dude. I watch the Discovery Channel. I enhance. See, that ain't right. I'm giving you scientific.
Motherfucker hadn't seen half the great movies in America's timeline, but yet he knows a snake has two penises because he watches the fucking Animal Planet. Jesus Christ.
He's as happy as a cobra with two Peters.
Oh, my God, Bronx.
Anthony Farley brings up another good one. Cat popping her titties out at Armageddon 99.
Yeah, but she had little titties.
But they were pretty little titties.
Well, they were. They were. That was back when Lawler was married to her. Now those she's married
pretty
to...
Little, those were pretty little softball-sized titties.
You know who she's with now, right? She's married to Kazarni.
Crowbar. Kazarni.
Kazarni.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Man. King has let some good pussy slip through his fingers, man. I mean, really.
Yeah, but you know what? Don't feel bad for the King. I'm going to tell you why. I've worked some shows with the King, and he has a penchant for pulling down some hot ass. I mean, the girlfriend that he had back in 05, I don't know if he's with her now, but she was pretty fucking hot. She was like 21. Yeah. So the King,
that's like
the
Sebastian
King gets around.
Bach. Sebastian Bach, lead singer of Skid Row. JSK and I hung out with him one night, and he had not only the penthouse pet of the year from 1999, but the penthouse pet of the year from 1998, both sleeping with him at the same time on his tour bus.
And I tell you what about Jerry Lawler, that dude is cool as hell. I mean, I had a chance to work with him several times. He fucking took me out to dinner the one time I picked him up from the airport, and we ate at Bricktown at, what's that fucking seafood restaurant? Pearls in Bricktown. And had a great dinner, and you know, he was an awesome
nice
guy.
Place.
I'm telling you, man, he has a tendency to pull in some hot ass. So I don't feel bad for King at all. He's fine.
Yeah, I mean, look at the guy. He's what? As old as he is, he's still in great shape, looks good.
Oh yeah, he's a health nut too. He still tries to keep in shape. Or at least he did when I knew him, so. But anyway, that's going to do it for the Raw recap. Hope you guys enjoyed it as much as we did, because we didn't really talk about it that much. But,
and I hope you enjoy going to bed tonight knowing that a snake has two penises.
I'm going to have nightmares over that one. Fuck me. With a snake! No. You sick fuck. Anyway, guys, we'll be back with more Wrestling News Live right after this. We're going to talk some news of the week brought to you by our good friends over at wrestling-online.com. Well, that said, stay tuned for more. I almost wish I had that as a soundbite to go to break with, but I don't. So,
which one?
The snake with the two penises. I just...
Well, I tell you what, we do have the last spot in the Wrestling News Live Fantasy Football League to give away also. So stay tuned for that as well.
All right, on that note, we'll be right back, guys, right after this. Maybe.
It's Roto Animal, and you're listening to Wrestling News Live. Ugh, what a rush.
WrestlingOnline.com, the official news source of Wrestling News Live. You're looking for the latest news in the world of MMA and professional wrestling, log on to www.wrestling-online.com and sign up for the largest and longest running newsletter on the internet today with over 26,000 subscribers and over 3,000 issues. And the best part, just like WNL, it's free! Once again, that's www.wrestlingonline.com.
The following podcast is scheduled to take you back in time. Host, ring announcer Sean Beckerman brings you pro wrestling nostalgia, featuring classic moments and old school themes. So buckle up and go beyond the bell. Each and every week on the SNS Radio Network, it's go time.
The WWE.
And that's the bottom line of Stone Cold said so.
He's Stone Cold Steve Austin. Now, experience the Texas Rattlesnake's legendary battles with Mr. McMahon and the Corporation, D-Generation X, The Undertaker and Kane, and the Brahma Bull, The Rock.
Hell yeah.
In the Attitude Era mode of WWE 13. Through your actions and decisions, we live epic matches and moments through over 20 classic WWE videos, cinematic cutscenes, and 150 historic photos in over 65 matches. Unlock over 100 items, including bonus characters, arenas, and more, as you experience the most revolutionary era in the history of WWE.
WWE 13. Live the revolution.
Pre-order WWE 13 today and play the baddest man on the planet, Iron Mike Tyson.
To be a champion in life, it takes sacrifice, courage, will, and dedication. But in the WWE, who will make the sacrifice, have the courage, the will, and the dedication at WWE Night of Champions?
Live Sunday, September 16th, only on pay-per-view.
The genius full of glory and renown, Lanny Poppin. You're listening to Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network.
Excuse me!
Now see what happens when I step away for a second and I come back too late? That shit always happens.
I don't think he was coming out to cut a promo.
You know, during the break, I was actually thinking, did you ever see the movie City Slickers?
Yeah.
So you remember it pretty well. Jack Palance, Billy Crystal.
Well, I mean, I saw it. I didn't memorize it, but I saw it, yeah.
Well, do you remember when they rustle all the cattle? They do the cattle drive after the cowboys leave them out there because they have a big fight in the middle of nowhere, and it's up right to Bruno Kirby and Daniel Stern and Billy Crystal to herd the cattle back after Curly dies.
They actually pull it off.
Yeah, so they make it back to the ranch, and the ranch owner was like, you know, I was worried. I heard you guys were out there, and, you know, and he basically makes the comment. He goes, I'm as happy as a puppy with two Peters.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, man, that applies to this show tonight. I'm as happy as a snake with two penises.
That line is also uttered in the movie The Distinguished Gentleman.
Is it really?
Yeah, where Eddie Murphy is a street crook, and he ends up manipulating the election to get into Congress. And there's a scene where he is mimicking the voice of another senator. And he goes, well, I'm as happy as a puppy with two Peters.
I guess maybe it'd be more beneficial to put yourself in that role and be like, I'm as happy as a sidewinder with two Peters.
Yeah.
There you go. Since I made a snafu tonight, I'll make it even. Although Bronx does have two. I only got the one. So.
Yeah, I've got two. You've got one.
Man, I really dislike the shit out of this new Xbox. What do you call it? Homepage or whatever the fuck. What do you call that?
The dashboard.
The dashboard. I dislike the shit out of it. And I'll tell you why. You got in the top left-hand corner with the disc that you have in, where mine says Play Madden 13. Below, you've got your quick play, which is all the recent things you've done leading up to the last time you played. Then you've got the rotating window in the middle advertising five different things that Xbox is trying to promote. But then to the right of that, there's a little box that says MLB offer. Well, they've been having the Major League Baseball Network, the MLB.com, on Xbox all season long. Well, this just popped up, and they always do this where at the end of the year, you know, towards the end of the season, they make you a special offer if you want to buy it now to watch the rest of the season as it plays out. And it's usually a pretty good deal, but you click on it, it just takes you to MLB.com. It doesn't give you an offer. And I did that several times today, so I was just looking at that. I'm pissed off about it.
It's funny. I still haven't played my Xbox, so I hear you.
And the other advertisement that's down in the bottom corner is Toy Soldiers Cold War. I've got that game. Not as much fun as I thought it would be.
You know, I bought that, too, back when it first came out. I was a little disappointed.
Well, there's a Toy Soldiers and there's a Toy Soldiers Cold War.
I've got Cold War because that's the one that's got Rambo and shit in it.
Rambo, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a Horseman buy. He talked me into that one.
Yeah, he did.
We played it together once, and I haven't played it since.
I can't blame Horseman for that purchase. I bought that because it looked cool, and then I played it, and it wasn't so cool.
I played it with him once for about an hour, and I went, that's it. That's it. Okay, well, I'm done with that. Kind of like Minecraft.
You got to stop listening to him. He tells you to buy a game, don't buy it.
I bought Minecraft because him and Deadeye were playing the shit out of it, and I thought, well, fuck, if I ever want to play with my buddies, I better play the game they're playing, so I bought it. I can't take it.
I got to be honest, at this stage in the game, the only thing that's going to bring me back to Xbox or console gaming is going to be WWE 13.
Well, I do have to admit I've spent a lot of time online playing DayZ. My online zombie game. The only problem is that I lag a little bit in certain areas. I figured out a way to... The part that lags is when you're looking at the open world in third person and you're trying to run. That's when I start to lag. But I found out that if I pan my camera, which is just tilt my head, if I just tilt my head down to... the ground, and look at the ground, it doesn't lag at all. It just runs full speed. The problem is I get eaten up by zombies more than anything else.
Now, I will say this. I've been spending most of my free time playing Star Wars The Old Republic because I'm enjoying the fuck out of that game. I'll be real honest, because not only do you have, you know, your regular-based strategy combat with your character, but you can also have space battles, too.
Aqua Shimizu says, who plays Minecraft? Go to twitch.tv, about 3,000 motherfuckers every day.
But I will say this, when they make it free to play, I think I'm going to go sign up an SNS league for people that want to join me on the Old Republic.
I'm with Rod, man. After Battlefield and fucking Call of Duty and Black Ops and that run last year of nothing but shooters, I'm fucking done with shooters.
I'm not big into shooters, man. I played Modern Warfare 3. I don't play the shit online. I just play the campaign.
One time.
Yeah, I sucked because, you know, I spawn, I get fucking killed. I can't get any offense in that game. So
well,
I just
see, what I hated about Modern Warfare 3 is it's all so fast.
Yeah.
Battlefield, you can spawn, run around, and hide. You got plenty of places to go. Battlefield is a lot better to me than fucking Call of Duty.
I mean,
Max Payne 3 is the best game I've played all year, other than maybe Batman or Madden.
I still haven't played Max Payne 3 online. Like the multiplayer, I have not played.
I did it once. It's not bad, but it's not what you expect. I mean, I did it during the time where I was playing Battlefield and Call of Duty, so you kind of expect that kind of game experience. It's not like that. At least it wasn't for me.
Yeah, I got to be honest, man. The most fun I've had playing multiplayer was back in the day playing some Grand Theft Auto 4, and then playing some Red Dead Redemption with you crazy motherfuckers.
Yeah,
you know,
we had a lot of fun in Red Dead Redemption.
There's nothing better than fucking knifing your best friend's horse. You know, I remember times that I would just fucking go up to Sean and just fucking knife his horse, you know, or throw a tomahawk and kill it, you know, or just fucking do stupid shit. Like me and Canadian Horseman were doing the horse carriage one time. He sat in the actual horse carriage and I was driving it. And I just fucking jumped off and drove it off a cliff with him in it. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
we did the same thing on accident because I was driving.
I mean, that was some fun shit.
But we got into it one night where it was just me and Horseman late at night, and I was at work playing, and it was like 3 or 4 in the morning. We'd been playing all night long, and there was like 6 people on the map, and everybody was paired in twos, and we were just, it was a fucking, you know, 2-on-2-on-2, you know, map. And they were all held up, 2 of the guys were held up in that fucking armory with the cannons on top.
Oh, yeah.
We had to take them out and then take over the armory so we could get the cannons and take them out from there. We had a blast doing that night.
Well, what pisses me off is that, you know, THQ won't release any of the series for PC. I mean, there are PCs out there that can handle it now. You know, WWE 13, why can't we have a PC version?
Well, I don't know.
Because they haven't made one for any SmackDown game, period.
Yeah, ever.
Right.
I got to admit, if I have my choice, I'm still a console guy. I like playing DayZ online on the computer. Now that I've got configured to where I can use a plugged-in Xbox controller to control my character. But I hate the computer controls. God, they're fucking horrible.
Dude, the only reason I'm playing The Old Republic is because it's not on the consoles. That's the only reason, because I was such a big fan of the Knights of the Old Republic series, which they should have made a fucking 3, by the way. It fucking pisses me off that we had to get this, which is supposed to tie everything in. And I found hints and clues, you know, that kind of give you the fate of what happened to Revan and stuff. But, like, seriously, the only reason I'm playing PC games is so I can play this game. And I've got, like, literally 2 games going on right now that I'm playing. I got one as a level fucking 37 Sith Lord, and I got one as a level 27 Jedi Guardian. And so I'm just kind of switching back and forth. When I get stuck on one, I quit for a bit and I go play the other one. You know,
what I'd like to
versa.
Do, what my end game goal is over the next year, my New Year's resolution, I guess, is going to be I want to get a desktop computer that will handle online gaming and will allow me to stream on Twitch TV. And then I want to bring listeners in to play with.
Now, that'd be cool. I haven't tried my new setup on my computer to see if I can actually go to Twitch TV and broadcast me playing Star Wars The Old Republic. It might be something I look forward to doing when I debut the Saturday night show in a couple weeks.
Right.
So we'll see.
I know Concept can stream. He's done it. He's got his own streaming channel, Twitch TV. Doc, whatever it is, /ITZ concept.
Well, I mean, that's not so much your computer. You can go out and buy a $7,000 computer. If your ISP is giving you shitty, you know, internet service, you're not going to be able to stream that stuff.
Well, it's you just got to get the right shit. I mean, I don't have any problem with my internet.
JJ, you playing your PC with a Xbox 360 controller?
I am.
Unfortunately, with The Old Republic, I can't. I can't figure out how to make the controller work with that.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm doing something
DayZ
wrong.
DayZ was set up that way. This is the only reason I'm able to.
Well, DayZ is also coming to consoles. They're working on that right now.
Well, that'll be fucking awesome.
It'll be its own separate game. It won't be a mod. It'll be its own game. So look forward to that in the future. But I tell you what, let's go ahead and break down some of the biggest news stories of the week. Courtesy of our good friends over at wrestling-online.com.
Excuse me! Excuse me!
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
May I have your attention, please?
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
And now the news.
Now, the first story I want to cover, I would have covered last week, but we had an issue and I had to leave the show. If you watched SummerSlam, you saw Fred Durst sitting front row, and he flipped off the WWE cameras when they basically focused in on him. Apparently, Kevin Dunn lost it backstage, and there's been some varied reports that the WWE threw Fred Durst from the building. The initial reports coming out of SummerSlam indicated that the lead singer of Limp Bizkit, Fred Durst, was kicked out of the show after he gave the camera the middle finger when the cameras were showing celebrities who were attending the show. A WWE spokesman cleared the air with TMZ.com, saying that Durst wasn't thrown out by security, but felt so bad after flipping off the camera that he went backstage to apologize for his actions. We appreciate Fred Durst's apology. However, we take our family-friendly environment very seriously, and this was a violation of that. We sincerely apologize to our fans, the spokesman said. Durst later tweeted, "You know, I kind of like the rumor. Let's just keep it as it is. Love me some at WWE. Time to rock." WWE, of course, used Limp Bizkit songs in the past, most notably the theme song for WrestleMania 19, which was titled Crack Addict. And the group performed The Undertaker's theme song, Rollin', live on the show the same night.
Crack Addict, that is a PG-13 show title.
Well, yes, we play that song from time to time on this particular network. But Fred Durst, thrown out of SummerSlam for flipping the bird. That's when you know, folks, that the WWE has gone completely PG.
Now, here's the deal. I'm not condoning the bird. But if you're going to put a camera on somebody unscripted, you get what you get. I'm not saying he was right for doing it. I'm just saying, if you randomly put a camera on somebody, you can't be upset with the outcome because, you know, you're the one that put the camera on them.
I want to see a celebrity, like a fucking nutty celebrity being in the front row and fucking mooning the WWE. You know, the fuck camera, and then you fucking see David Arquette bend over and show his ass. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
I could see. What's that dude's name? Oh, what's that guy's name? I can't think of it now. Black comedian. It's on 30 Rock.
Oh, Tracy. What's
Tracy
his name?
Tracy something.
Tracy Morgan.
Yeah, I can see him going, "Hey, WWE," and then dropping trowel.
Yeah, I could see that happening too. That'd be kind of funny.
But I mean, you know, how many kids knew what that even meant? I mean, it's so easy, you know, if a kid asks you, "Hey, you know, mommy, daddy, what does that finger mean?" It just means hi. I mean, it's not.
No, if you tell your kids it means hi, Bronx, they're going to go to school and fucking flip people off. Hi, hi. God damn it. That's another buzzer for Bronx. You're up to three, bitch, for this time.
Wow, that was weak.
That's because I turned the volume down.
Another
think before you speak.
Yeah, but it's just so stupid to me. I mean, really? Come on.
Well, the original thing that I heard from Fred Durst is that he was leaving to beat traffic.
Yeah, I heard that too.
That came from his Twitter account before any of the other shit came out.
Anyway, Fred Durst ejected from the WWE SummerSlam. You heard it here first. Well, you heard it on TMZ first.
Limp Bizkit is right here. Let's see how many times we can put the name of the band in the song. Limp Bizkit. Limp Bizkit.
Well, let's put it this way. WWE limped that biscuit pretty good that night, didn't they?
You're a man without a band, dude. You're not a hardcore rocker anymore. Stop flipping off cameras.
Now, here's a story that I find extremely interesting. An original Triple WF title was found recently. I don't know if you heard this news story or not. Wrestling Online readers Michael Brink Schroeder and Dave Zellickson sent an article which originally appeared on the Slam Wrestling website about this, the discovery of the original Triple WF title from 1963 when Bruno Sammartino defeated Buddy Rogers at Madison Square Garden to win the Triple WF title. Sammartino never received the original belt, which Rogers held at the time. A new one was made for Sammartino. Eventually wore that one throughout his long reign as the company's champion. Cue in Annie Behrend, the widow of former Triple WF wrestler and former tag team partner of Rogers, Johnny Behrend. While she was cleaning her attic in Avon, New York, she found the belt wrapped in a bath towel, and after doing some homework, she discovered that the wrap belt was Buddy Rogers' original Triple WF title. Dave Milliken, who creates title belts for the WWE, verified the authenticity of the title and bought the title off Annie Behrend. You can find the full article over at wrestling-online.com. A piece of history recovered, now in the hands of famed belt maker Dave Milliken.
Wow.
Man, I would have loved to have found that belt.
No shit.
Like,
right?
I mean, that's a piece of history, folks. Can you imagine going through your attic? You come across this towel, and inside of it is a Triple WF championship. That's an awesome story.
That would have fit well on one of those shows they had. God, I can't remember the name of it, where like they would go to people's houses and go through their basements and attics and find shit that was worth like hundreds, if not thousands of dollars, and the owners didn't know it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, wow.
One of those picker shows on fucking Lifetime or some shit.
Well, yeah, like, what is it? Even Storage Wars, you know, you open up a storage unit and you find Abdullah the Butcher's fucking Hall of Fame ring. Because, as you know, he didn't keep the ring. He gave it to his brother.
Or you open up a storage unit and you find a bunch of blood and Abdullah the Butcher's Hep C result.
Well, that and a fucking bloody fork.
And a fork.
That's right.
Wow.
Gets deep on this show, folks. If you're just tuning in for the first time, I'm sorry. Something else that happened this past week that a lot of people in the mainstream wrestling media could give two shits about. Tyler Rex released from the WWE. He asked for his release. And, I'm going to say this now. Tyler Rex really never got the recognition he deserved. He was actually a very talented superstar who really never got that opportunity to shine. His biggest moments, I guess, recently were with his tag team partner, Curt Hawkins. He was released from the company after asking for his release after the birth of his newborn baby daughter. He recently realized that being a superstar means making sacrifices, including time with the family. As a father, I respect the hell out of Tyler Rex for taking this stance, knowing he probably was never going to get the push or really go anywhere in the company. And having this newborn child to go and be a full-time father, man, that's a full-time job in itself. And I wish Tyler Rex the best and whatever it is he does. But, you know, lots of respect quitting the way he did for that reason. That's definitely my respect there.
Well, I mean, you know, if you see you have no future, why not?
Because you're still getting a steady paycheck every time you're supposed to. I mean, it's hard to give up a career that you love, I understand, but it's also hard to give up that paycheck when you got a kid to feed, too.
Well, but, you know, when you're a professional wrestler and you're working as much as they do, because they work
well, yeah,
because
you're gone all the time. You wouldn't, like, it'd be like being a service member overseas. You don't get to watch your kids grow up.
And I'm sure he wasn't making a high dollar, you know, I mean, I'm sure he was making decent money, but he wasn't making, you know, superstar salaries, you know, like where he had money to burn. As far as Tyler Rex's career, he signed with the company in 2008. That was his developmental deal. Reported to Florida Championship Wrestling. Had his WWE TV debut on the ECW brand in 2009. 2010,
Rex in effects.
Rex joined the SmackDown brand and then moved to Raw in 2011, teaming with Curt Hawkins. In his goodbye message, Rex thanked his fellow wrestlers, especially Hawkins, who he said was like a brother to him. I wish you the best, and thanks for understanding that I had to go be a dad adding that when his daughter gets older and understands what he did, she will thank Hawkins as well. Again, that's class. I have all the respect in the world for Tyler Rex. Do yourself a favor and raise that kid right, man.
Now he's going to move to Florida and open a surf shop.
Hey, he's got the look for it. He could do it.
Hey, man.
He'd be an awesome beach bum dad. Like, you know, he could be hanging out with a kid. They'd be on the beach. He could teach the kid how to surf. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things he could do. So I wish him the best of luck.
Yeah, I mean, they could go to the beach and he could sell surfboards and, you know, surf wax and teach the kid how to be a little street pilferer. And
oh, man.
I don't know about that.
A great career.
Now, way to bring the segment down, Trey. We're all being positive and respectful.
I'm looking at all the options for the kid, okay? Look, I don't mean any disrespect. I'm just saying
Trey
kids
had to,
need to have a job or a trade these days.
Trey had to Trey dog it up, folks.
I'll read your palm for $2. I mean, come on, really?
Now, speaking of people who've also left, Chris Jericho out of the company, but he did respond to fans on Twitter and says he will be back with the company. Big surprise there. I mean, we all know Jericho likes to go on sabbaticals and be a rock star and then come back and do something different. So he says he'll be back. We'll see when it happens.
Yeah, I could care less about Jericho anymore.
Yeah.
We also saw the video from Brock Lesnar last week where he basically said he'd accomplished everything there was in the WWE and he's going to take his ball and go home. So
at least he didn't say he was taking his balls and going home.
Well, there you go. So we'll see how that comes back to bite Brock in the ass. Sad news for fans of Elijah Burke, also known as D'Angelo De Niro. He's officially out of the Bound for Glory series. That's right. TNA Wrestling announced on its website that D'Angelo De Niro is officially out of the BFG series due to an injury. The man formerly known as Elijah Burke in the WWE suffered a shoulder injury during a match and was written off by having the Aces and Eights attack him at the Hardcore Justice pay-per-view. Last week, he tweeted a picture of an x-ray of his shoulder showing a broken bone, saying he will have to sit this one out for a couple of months.
Well, I mean, you know, you never want to hear that, but, you know, if he's hurt, he's legit hurt, obviously. I mean, you know, he has to take time off. I mean, there's nothing you can do. The thing is, I don't think he would have been a major player, and, you know, Trey would agree or disagree with me on this, in the Bound for Glory series. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, him getting injured is good because he's out. Not at all. But, I mean, I don't think he would have been a major player anyway. So, recover, and I hope he comes back, you know, as soon as he can.
No doubt. Speaking of things going wrong in Impact, after this injury with D'Angelo De Niro, the Claire Lynch storyline appears to have died. The pregnant storyline on Impact was written out of television after the actress portraying the character of Claire Lynch quit her role. The actress in question, Julia Riley, is from Florida, and in the past 2 weeks, her online properties were shut down after her identity was leaked online. During Impact, it was revealed that she was never really pregnant and was put up to the task by Daniels and Kazarian. She also drugged AJ Styles so she could take scandalous photos of him for blackmail. The actress never appeared at the show with another individual playing the role of her attorney, wrapping up the storyline for her. So apparently Claire Lynch, bottom line, folks, was embarrassed to be on Impact Wrestling. Take that for what you will.
No, she was not embarrassed to be on Impact Wrestling.
That's what it sounds like, Trey.
She was embarrassed because of the way that everything went down. It wasn't the fact that she was on Impact. She was embarrassed because she ended up having to take... I don't know the whole story. I didn't read it all. I didn't give a shit because at the bottom line end of the day, I was just glad this was over.
You and everybody else.
Yeah. There was a lot more to it, but it got to the point where she felt her personal life was invaded. She came out with some pretty stupid statements also.
But, you know, here's the thing. When you put yourself in the public eye...
Right. You got to expect that shit. You know, that's what I said on TNA chat. You know, you put yourself out there on national television, people are going to look for you, you know, and that's what happened. Is somebody found her on Facebook or something. I don't remember how it went down, but they found her, and she had basically Like, I keep all of my resume and my radio stuff in a folder on my desktop, but I don't make it public for anybody to just look at. She had a resume posted. She had photos posted. She had, like, still shots, like actors' headshots, shit that actors and actresses do. She had, you know, video clips of her doing infomercials and shit. And what was really funny about it to me was, I think that what's the right way to put it? The straw that broke the camel's back on the Claire Lynch thing, as far as she's concerned, is that people were going to Impact and watching her play Claire Lynch and then heckling her at her job at the park where she plays Olive Oil.
Oh, I can just see that now. Olive Oil's a fucking bitch. That's not
Olive
your child.
Olive Oil's a druggy bitch. Do it for the baby, AJ.
Popeye, that's Pluto's baby.
Yeah. Hey, Popeye, she's fucking AJ Styles.
Hey, Whippy will give you a hamburger today because he fucked your girlfriend on Tuesday.
That's right.
You know,
so she eventually had to call one of them quits, and the more long-term deal was the job that she has full-time playing Olive Oil, so it only made sense to get rid of Claire Lynch.
And she probably makes a lot more money working at the park than she does working for TNA Wrestling, let's be honest.
Right, right.
Well, I mean, you know what amazes me, guys? A, that...
that a snake has two penises?
Yeah.
Oh, that these people will take a job...
Are you a snake milker?
Hey, Bronx, they don't have titties, so stop sucking the dick, okay?
The fuck?
He just asked if you're a snake milker. Put two and two together. Come on.
No, when you milk a snake, you milk its venom, its fangs. It has nothing to do with a dick, you sick fucks.
You only know that because you watch Animal Planet.
Oh.
I don't even know what I was going to say now. You know, you guys.
You can't tell me who played the role of Chavez E. Chavez, but you can tell me that you milk a snake by doing its fangs and it has two penises. That's what's wrong with America today. Where's that caller? Where's that fucking caller that called in and bitched about that's what's wrong? That's what's wrong with America.
Oh, my God. That's epic, Bronx. Thanks for the memories.
Forget it. You know, you guys are killing me. What I was going to say is it just amazes me how there are people who will research this shit.
What do you mean?
No, I mean, like, you know, Claire's on TNA. All right. Well, I'm going to go and dig up every fucking thing that I can find on this woman and see what she has. You know,
that's what we talked about. Probably was it last week at the beginning of the show or 2 weeks ago where I said wrestling has changed. That's back in the day, you know, the Iron Sheik go into a fucking bar, drink up a $500 tab, tell them all go fuck themselves, walk out, get in the cab, and take off, and nobody would know because it wouldn't have been all over the fucking internet. There wasn't an internet for it to be all over. Nowadays, a fucking wrestler walks into a bar and doesn't tip 15%, it's all over the fucking websites.
Yeah, and how do you preserve kayfabe? How do you preserve any storyline with the
That's why I say it's got to be hard to be a true superstar in this day and age.
Yeah, no doubt.
It is. Back to some more news. As you know, last week, Rey Mysterio suffered a concussion at the hands of Mike Mizanin at SummerSlam when he basically faced The Miz for the Intercontinental Champion. So Ray's back from injury and he's hurt again, folks. So
Ray, telling you, brother, give the Triple H speech and ride off into the sunset before you can no longer walk and talk and function like a normal member of society.
I think that we need to have a last run for Rey Mysterio. WrestleMania needs to be a swan song and he needs to fight Sin Cara and it needs to be done.
Yeah.
It's what you do. You put them together in a tag team. You even have them go after the belts. Let them win the belts. Have this nice fall program. Because Ray needs to be in a situation like a tag team where he's tagging
Cinco de Mayo every day.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if he's not wrestling singles matches and he's counting on Sin Cara doing most of the ring work with him, that's really going to prolong his career a little longer. You know what I'm saying? It's going to stop him from possibly facing a major injury. I just think that, you know, as injury prone as this guy is, and I love Rey Mysterio, don't get me wrong, but it's time to hang him up, Rey. Like, you were gone a year. You came back for, like, 2 weeks, and now you're hurt again.
Yeah, and I mean, he's still not having any regard for himself. I mean, if you look at the shit he's been doing, he doesn't look like a guy who's like, you know, maybe I better slow down. I mean, and I respect him for that. I have the utmost respect for him for that, for wanting to put on the best show he can. But, dude, you know, you want to be able to walk. I mean, you know, come on. I agree with you.
So we've covered that. Sunny has officially checked herself out of rehab. That's right. WWE Hall of Famer and former diva Tammy Sitch has been released from rehab after spending over a month in the facility paid for by the WWE. Sitch, better known as Sunny, was rushed to the ER last month after drinking a considerable amount of vodka. After the word that her problem got to Tommy Dreamer, Dreamer called the WWE to help her out. Within 30 minutes, she was booked for a rehab facility. The WWE went as far as picking her up from her home and taking over the tab. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, free and sober at last, she wrote on her Facebook page. I wish Tammy Sitch the best and hope that she can keep her sobriety and whatever it is she does these days. I wish her the best. I was a big Sunny fan back in the day.
She'd I hope the best for her too as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard. I mean, how do you drink enough vodka where you can't even, like, function?
I mean, I've had some nights where I woke up the next day and couldn't believe I was still alive. But, you know, I've also, you know, been sober now for 3 years. And I look at somebody who's drunk now and I go, God, how do you drink so much that you get to that point of stupidity? But I guess it's easy to do because Lord knows I've been there.
Oh, leave it to Maze in the chat to get racist. Twisting MLK words for her sobriety. Laugh out loud. It never ends.
Jesus Christ. Speaking of stupid people, Swax, if you ever message me during the show again, I will end your career in the network. You'll be gone.
He doesn't have a career in this network.
Well, I mean, as far as a listener goes, I will erase you.
Now, here's a story that I found highly entertaining and laughable. But let's keep into consideration that this happened on the Howard Stern show. So it looks like Dolph Ziggler is not only a show-off in the ring, but apparently he's one in the bedroom, too. And in this case, it kind of backfired on him. Comedian Amy Schumer, a regular on Comedy Central roasts and a contestant on Last Comic Standing, was on Howard Stern to discuss several topics, including her ex-boyfriend and Money in the Bank winner, Dolph Ziggler. Schumer said that while she did like Ziggler, the theatrics in bed were, quote, too athletic for bed, and decided to break things off via a text message. Schumer said that Ziggler took the breakup good and described him as having a very tender heart. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't for me, says Schumer. The sex was too athletic. Always the first time, I was like, okay, this is cool. Nobody's ever ragdolled me. He was spinning me like a globetrotter. I was like, oh my God, I felt so petite. It was exciting. It wasn't that crazy, but it felt like we were wrestling. The busty 31-year-old blonde says. Schumer said that she ended up with Ziggler after he kept messaging her on Twitter and admitted that on the first date she ended up in bed with him. The first night he held my hand, he was inside me, says Schumer. Eventually, Schumer returned with her ex-boyfriend and fellow comedian Anthony Jeselnik, another regular on Comedy Central Roasts.
Wait a minute. Hold up. So she left a guy named Dolph Ziggler to go back to fucking a guy named Jeselnik.
You cannot write this shit, folks. It writes itself.
She left Dolph Ziggler to continue fucking Jeselnik.
And she left him because he was too athletic in the bedroom.
Now, hold on a minute. Time up. Back up the truck. Beep, beep, beep. Hold on a minute. Now, I have seen this chick on Comedy Central. I saw her on there this weekend. She's not that funny, and she's not, like, incredibly petite. She's kind of, if memory serves me right, she's kind of chunky.
I think you're right. She is a little chunky, so maybe Dolph was having an off night and was doing a chubby chasing thing. I don't know.
So, Dolph is spinning her like a Harlem Globetrotter. Now, I've done a lot of fucking, and I've seen a lot of porno. But I ain't never seen anybody... Now, I'm envisioning Dolph as laying on his back.
Oh, God.
That's not the case. That's not the case because he's athletic. So he was clearly not on his back.
Well, I'm assuming in order to spin her like a globetrotter, he had to be on his back. And you know the motion you make with your hand when you're spinning a basketball?
I do, yes.
He had to be hitting the cheeks of her ass at a pretty good solid movement and speed to get that bitch to spin on his cock like that. Now, if that's the case, that's some pretty interesting fucking.
I just, of all the reasons to break up with a guy, it's because he was too athletic in bed. That's a new
one,
folks.
Maybe if you would step away from the Twinkies and the Ho-Hos, you could have some athletic sex in bed, too.
I'm just thinking when she says too athletic, she didn't want to get off her back.
I mean, there are more ways to have sex than the missionary position. Does she know this? Well, I guess she does now.
Well, see, what they need to do is to have his moveset in WWE 13.
And what this really says, if you're Jizzleneck, you're a horrible lay.
You know, I'm not one to want to say I want to see celebrity sex tapes, but I got to see that tape. I hope there's one out there. I really
do. I mean,
I want to see him spin her around like a fucking globetrotter.
How can you have the name of Jizzleneck and be a horrible lay? Because that's basically what she's saying, is that the other guy was too adventurous and too athletic and, you know, really did some outstanding fucking, so I got tired of that and had to come home back where things were boring.
Well, I mean, you know, you got to pick one or the other. It's like the difference between putting AA batteries in or D batteries. You know, which do you want?
But you try to put a D battery in a hole that's only big enough for a AA, you got a problem.
Well, it depends on who it is, you know? But, I mean...
Depends on what hole it is.
Yeah. I mean, look, bitch, you can't have the best of both worlds. You can't have a loving, I love you, my dear, I'm going to make love for you for hours on end, and a motherfucker who's doing shit that you could film and put on Ringling Brothers. I mean, you got to take your pick, you know?
I always wanted to dress up as Batman. And be suspended from the ceiling like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible with my hands out and my legs spread with nothing but the cape and the cowl.
I'm out.
And then drop in on the chick unsuspectedly while she's laying in bed and go, I'm Batman.
You know, I'm going to tell you a true story here.
Oh, God.
True fucking story.
True story.
Back when I was... I want to say 18. Yeah, it was 18. It was after I moved out of my parents' house. I left when I was 18 because me and my dad got into it. And, of course, my mom and him were divorced for many years, and she lived in another state. So moved out when I was 18. And during the summer after high school, I ended up house-sitting for a guy that I knew that was a teacher at the school that I went to. He was actually one of the teachers of my best friend, Dave Shipps. But I knew him and was friends with him because he had worked some casino things with us in the past. So he went on this vacation and needed somebody to feed his cats and hang out the house. So I'm house sitting for him for 2 weeks. True story. He left me with a set of rules. I could do anything in the house I wanted except have sex in his bed.
Have sex in his bed.
Didn't want anybody but him having sex in his bed. Well, at the time,
that's understandable.
At the time, I had a pretty hot smoking girlfriend. Okay. I'll admit, I had sex in one of his beds. He found out later on and banned me from his house. But before all this happened, I thought it was ridiculous, by the way. The reason he found out is because he found a condom in the trash.
Well, who hadn't seen that scenario played out a thousand times?
Well, exactly. Okay, so I'm banned from his house. But before all this happens, while I'm in the middle of house-sitting at Mr. Taylor's house, I run across his porn collection.
Oh, my.
And this goes along with your Batman theme. Mm-hmm. John Holmes did a porno called Dick Man and Throbbin.
Oh, no.
Dick Man is dropping.
And I remember watching this porno, and there was one line in particular that really busted me up.
I'm Dick Man.
Dick Man, this calls for double penetration. Yes, Dick Man and Throbbin. Look it up at your local porn stores, folks.
Holy horny Catwoman, Batman.
And that eventually,
sex is too athletic.
And that eventually got me kicked out of Mr. Taylor's house.
I would have changed my name to Jizzerman.
Jizzerman? That would be a better name, wouldn't it?
No.
Jizzlenick. Yeah.
Jizzlenick.
But you can't write this shit, folks. Dolph Ziggler dumped for being too athletic in bed.
Wow.
The guy is a show-off for a reason, folks.
You know what? God bless you, Dolph. Fuck her. Feed her fish heads.
I almost want to do... You remember the Real Men of Genius commercials? You know, like the Real American Heroes for Budweiser?
Real Men of Genius.
I almost want to do one for Dolph Ziggler.
Real Men of Genius.
I have to come up with a script for it. That'd be awesome.
Here's to you, Mr. Too Athletic in Bed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, how do you please a chick? I mean, my God. I mean, if you're too good, you get dumped like Ziggs did. And if you're just laying there chilling, you get dumped anyway. I mean, how do you make somebody happy? I mean, really, he's too athletic in bed.
I guarantee you, if you did a Family Feud survey, survey says we've interviewed 99 women. And they all say, you know, what kind of sex would you rather have? Too athletic or missionary position? Ooh, 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 in and out and done. They're going to go with athletic.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Trey. How much does this open Dolph to get basically any chick he wants? I mean, you know you got some chicks out there saying, you're too athletic, really? Let's try it out.
I mean when word gets around that you may tag washer to bitch while you were fucking her... And put her on spin cycle.
The
phone will ring off the hook. Bitches will be wanting to come from miles around to have you fucking spin them around on top of your dick.
I'm telling you, man, Vivid Video's missing their calling. They should be calling Dolph Ziggler up and say, hey, you want a job with us?
You know, I used to joke about Dolph Ziggler being a play on Dirk Diggler. Well, now you know.
Well, now, speaking of one situation where Dolph Ziggler gets dumped for being too athletic in bed. As you may have heard, China's next adult movie is a parody. Well, anytime China is in a porn, it is parody, folks. I will agree with that. Former WWE Intercontinental Champion and Diva China is about to have her next adult movie released by Vivid Entertainment, a movie which carries the title of China is Queen of the Ring. Released for your viewing pleasure online on September 4th and in stores on September 12th, this Triple X parody will see China battle WWE superstar lookalikes, including her ex-boyfriend, Triple H, Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Ric Flair, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Bret the Hitman Hart, The Iron Sheik. Oh, that's great. Iron Sheik. China, bend over. I humble you. I stick my dick in your ass.
What? You want me to put my dick in there?
Doink the Clown, John Cena, Mean Gene Okerlund, Vince McMahon, and yes, Stephanie McMahon. China, quote, this movie made me feel sexy and wanted. I was glad it was a long shoot because I was totally turned on and having so much fun laughing a lot with the guys. I think the adult movie fans will go crazy over it. The cast of Queen of the Ring includes Lisa Ann as Stephanie McMahon, Valerie Kay as Ring Girl, Ron Jeremy as himself, Alex Sanders as Ric Flair, Anthony Hardwood as Triple H, Cyrus King as Stone Cold.
Wait a minute. Who?
Anthony Hardwood.
Okay, I'm calling bullshit here.
Anthony Hardwood as Triple H, Cyrus King as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Evan Stone.
Apparently Lisa Ann does a pretty good job of imitating Sarah Palin.
I've heard that. Evan Stone as Vince McMahon.
I'm looking at it.
Marco Banderas as the Iron Sheik. Ralph Long as Dork. I guess it works either way. Sledgehammer as The Rock. TJ Cummings as John Cena.
Cummings.
Wow.
And Tommy Pistol as Gene Okerlund.
Okay, give me the Hulk Hogan guy.
Let's look that up. It doesn't say, does it? No, it doesn't say Hulk Hogan.
All right, give me the Triple H guy again.
Anthony Hardwood.
Anthony Hardwood. Images.
I can't believe this.
He looks nothing like Triple H.
It's all makeup, man. It's all makeup.
Well, I mean, you're talking 10 grand in makeup just to do the nose.
You know what? I want to book an interview. I want this porno. I have got to see this.
Yeah.
I have got to see this. I need to
talk
to Colin.
You want to bring China back on and talk about this?
I want to fucking bring China on and talk about this porno. I want to fucking see it.
I can make it through another one of these goddamn China interviews.
Oh, goddamn it.
I did the best I could, and she was offering me fucking pussy on the last one.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, that's like going through, you know, the Lincoln Tunnel. I mean, she offers you pussy, but yeah, when the
not hers, her co-hosts.
Oh. Now that's different, but it, you know, it's still like the Holland Tunnel. I mean, you know, 25,000.
I don't know that I can bite my lip through another China interview.
Why don't you see if we can get TJ Cummings?
I'll call up Anthony Hardwood.
Oh, shit.
What's sad is when you get the call and they go, hey, this is Vivid Video. Yeah, we're calling to let you know that you have been accepted and selected to star in our latest movie with China the Wrestler. Yes, thank you very much. The casting call will be at blah, blah, blah. You need to be in costume and at the scene to shoot your scene 30 minutes before time to shoot. And you are playing the role of Mean Gene Okerlund. What are you talking about, shooting a man off his fucking horse? You get the role of Mean Gene? What the fuck?
Fucking Sledgehammer as The Rock.
Sledgehammer.
Well, I mean, you know, are these guys going to cut promos before the scenes? Like, you know, you get Hardwood is playing who? Triple H, you know. Does he come out as Triple H with, like, a prosthetic nose and, you know, his arm in a sling, and I am the game, and I'm going to fuck you and then dump you for Stephanie. I mean, you know, how real
actually,
do you
no,
want?
No, it would be, I am the game.
Now, if
I
you
am,
Google Sledgehammer porn star, I could see how this guy can play The Rock, I guess.
But no, Bronx, I could see it. I am the game. And I am as happy as a snake with two penises.
And then you got to hire the guy to play, you know, Brock Lesnar to come out and snap Triple H's dick while he's in the middle of it. And
no. He wouldn't break. He wouldn't. Yeah, he'd break his cock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Not the arm. He'd break the cock.
Right.
Now, this Lisa Ann chick, she's smoking hot.
Hey, if you're just tuning in, welcome to Porn Talk Live right here on the Wrestling News
Live. She does a great Sarah Palin.
All the porn, all the time.
I wonder if she's the one, because I heard this on the news this morning. This is legit, and I'm not bullshitting, that in New Orleans, down there where the GOP hearings and all that shit are, that's in Tampa. In Tampa, where the GOP hearings are for the Republican Party and all that bullshit, all the strip clubs down there are going patriotic-themed. And they've got a Sarah Palin impersonator for the main event.
Oh, wow.
I wonder if it's her.
It might be.
But who fantasizes?
Because she was in Hustler. She was in Hustler starring Lisa Ann as Sarah Palin under the headline, you ready for this? Who's nailing Palin?
Man, I'd rather have Vicky Guerrero dress me up as a gimp than do anything with anything that looked like Sarah Palin. I mean, you want to talk about butch? I mean, that chick, she's more likely to turn into the Hulk than Bruce Banner.
Have you lost your goddamn mind?
No, he looks up fucking snake penises, man. Leave him alone.
You're trying to tell me.
I get Palin.
As a full-blooded American man, that you think Vicky Guerrero is better looking and sexier than Sarah Palin?
Oh, don't you know?
Sarah Palin sickens me. It isn't so much about...
You sicken me.
Excuse me! Excuse me! Put the gimp costume on! Excuse me!
I mean, you know, it's about emotion, too. When you take a chick in the bed, you know, I don't want Sarah Palin. I mean, you know, it's like I'll feel gay. I mean, it's like she's the guy. Really?
Are you fucking kidding me?
Dude, I can't get down with that. She just, I don't know. Bleh.
What?
Man.
Goddamn, Brox, you're killing this shit.
Man, I just can't stand her. I don't know. It's like she's more of a turn off than anything.
Have you ever heard of a grudge fuck?
No, but I can imagine what you're alluding to.
That's what you would do with Sarah Palin. You'd grudge fuck her. Brox, oh, don't you know?
I never thought in a million years I'd ever ask this question to anybody.
God, oh no.
On this show.
Mark tape.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
It's coming, folks.
But, you know, and I love you to death. You're my boy. And this is, your answer will not reflect the way I think about you at all.
Yeah, right.
Wait. But before you do this, I just want to say, Brox, on a personal level, before he says this shit to you, I want you to know I like you. Not a lot, but I do like you.
Right.
Go ahead.
What?
Now, I know you sit at home a lot, watching Animal Planet, apparently. Not watching any good movies. Probably not watching a whole lot of porno. I just have to ask, you're how old?
34.
Have you ever been laid?
Yes.
By more than one chick?
Yeah.
Okay, so you got a little taste of variety?
Sure.
No two pieces taste the same, kind of like bubblegum?
Well,
did the titties feel like a bag of sand?
When you took a bra off, was it like a waterbed with no sides on it?
No.
Okay. I'm just curious because any man with a dick that gets hard of its own volition that can look at fucking Vicky Guerrero and openly state that you'd rather put your dick in that than Sarah Palin leads me to believe one of two things. You've never had pussy. Or you play for the other team. And I know you don't play for the other team.
No. Them's so, fight.
So I have to ask, have you seriously ever been laid before?
Well, I mean, the thing is, anybody in politics turns me the fuck off.
I like how he averted the subject. That was awesome.
No, play for the other team, really?
No, I said I know that you don't.
You did.
So that leads me to believe that you've never had pussy. Because that's the only two ways you can look at Vicky Guerrero and go, I'd like to hit that over that.
Well, I mean, you know, at least Vicky Guerrero won't, you know, try to sell me a budget plan. I'm just, maybe there's more to it.
It this way. If you got either one of them in bed and they're doing anything besides fucking, that's your fault. So if she tries to sell you a budget plan, that means you don't know what the fuck you're doing. You should call up Dolph Ziggler.
Because apparently Dolph's the guy with all the moves. He's got the moves like Jagger, apparently.
Or Jizzleneck, or whatever the fuck his name was.
Jizzleneck is probably just doing the missionary position. So, anyway, yeah, so China's next adult film, Queen of the Ring. I got to see this. I mean, the first
one. I got to admit, I'm going to watch this.
I'm totally going to watch this.
I am going to watch this porno.
Just so I can see the guy playing the Iron Sheik. China, I'm going to bend you over, put you in camel clutch, and fuck you in the ass. I humble you, bitch. I humble you.
You're taking the face.
I treat you like Brian Blair, bitch. I humble you.
I treat you like Dolph Ziggler.
Now, we go from this to this subject. Apparently, there's a major difference with the Bella Twins these days. Have you heard about these?
Oh, my fucking God. Thank you for bringing this up. Because if you will watch the video that accompanies this piece of news, this little nugget of news from the great journalistic minds of Wrestling-Online. If you watch this video... Okay, let me set the scene for you. Bella Twins, Comic-Con. All right? Cameraman is probably from a dirt sheet wrestling website of some kind. Nothing against dirt sheet wrestling websites. I love you. However, comma. Speaking of people who have never been laid, this fucking cameraman who's doing the interview can't help but try to get every cleavage shot from the one Bella who has titties now without getting caught. It's fucking hilarious. If you watch the camera dip down to her titties and dip back up to her face, you gotta see this video.
So, in other words, the difference between the Bella twins, it's not a tattoo, it's not a new hairdo. Nope. Nikki Bella has some titties.
She got some titties. She got some titties. They're about CD-sized titties. They're nice.
So now, if you didn't know how to tell the difference, you do now. Nikki Bella has titties.
And the other Bella twin is sitting there in the interview like she's the one that didn't get all the crumbs to Grandma's house with Hansel and Gretel, like she got left behind. And she's like, oh, I... And the one with the titties does all the talking. And you can see that the other Bella twin is like, bitch, let me say something.
So Brie Bella upset that Nikki got titties.
She got some titties.
Now, mind you, I still wouldn't mind, you know, Brie stopping over here for a bit. I mean,
you
come on.
You wouldn't know what to do with that bitch if she knocked on your door right now.
Interesting night with Bronx. Did you know that a snake has two penises? I'm out of here.
You guys would pop popcorn, sit on the couch, and fall asleep to fucking Animal Planet.
Oh, you guys are killing me.
No, you're killing yourself.
I'm trying to rescue some fucking stray dogs or something.
And that... I have one last little nugget of news. And this didn't come in the newsletter. This was something that I came across before the show started tonight.
Uh-oh.
Fresh off the success of The Expendables 2,
mm-hmm.
Terry Crews is in talks with the WWE officials. He revealed during a fan chat with Reddit.com that he has talked with WWE officials regarding a potential role. He was quoted as saying, I'm talking to the WWE about doing some things. I love the energy and excitement and the live component. It's theater on a grand scale. So Terry Crews could be in the WWE in the very near future. I just hope that they're not doing a remake of No Holds Barred with Terry Crews as Zeus.
No.
Because if there was anybody that looked like Zeus, it's fucking Terry Crews.
My favorite Terry Crews moment is in the movie Click.
Yeah.
Where... Adam Sandler is clicking the remote to get through periods of time in his life, and he's in traffic, and he looks over, and Terry Crews is sitting in a Ferrari or some little red fucking convertible, singing, everybody is working for the weekend.
I actually liked him in White Chicks.
Yeah, he was good in that, too.
Yeah, because he was the big black football player that was fucking all the white chicks.
What he wasn't good at was the EA Sports Madden NFL flag football game this Sunday.
And after he'd be with a chick, they'd fucking be in a wheelchair?
And this, unfortunately, he got cut from the Stars Earn Stripes television show. And I watched that last night while I watched Raw. And I got one TV on that and one TV on the other. And I gotta tell you, Eve Torres, if you watch her on that show, you will have a newfound respect for that chick. Number one, she's not in a situation where she's dressed up to look like a fucking diva, but she is naturally a hot, beautiful woman, and I wouldn't piss her off because she's good with the guns. Like, she can shoot the shit out of the guns with no problem, and her team last night was the number one team on the show. She's got a good chance to win it all.
Very cool.
So, make sure you check that out if you get a chance.
Well, like I said, that was my final piece of news for the evening. Terry Crews possibly in talks to do something with the WWE. So, you know what? I think he'd be a good fit. He's got the body for it. He's actually a very good actor. And, you know, I could see him in a pretty big potential role for the company. I don't know if he'd be a full-time wrestler or whatnot, but he's one of those guys, if you're going to bring an actor in to be a pro wrestler, you know, and maybe put him in a match, I could see him learning the craft and actually doing a decent job.
He's got the body for it.
He does have the body for it. I think he can do it. But anyway, that's it for News of the Week. We're going to take our final break, come back. We're running a little long tonight. We're going to do quick emails and a few phone calls before we head out of this bitch tonight. So with that being said, keep listening to Wrestling News Live. We'll be right back right after this.
this is Rob Van Dam, the whole effing show, and you're listening to Wrestling News Live on the SNS Network.
Hey guys, it's Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ, all caps Sexay of the SNS Radio Network. If you're looking for the latest news in professional wrestling and, of course, some of the best columns on the World Wide Web today, visit headlocks2headlines.com. That's headlocks, the number two, headlines.com. It's the official news site of the SNS Radio Network. You should make it your official news site as well. Once again, www.headlocks2headlines.com.
Every Thursday, the SNS Radio Network gets in the ring and starts running the ropes.
When I caught SmackDown again. I skipped Sheffield's gimmick, and I couldn't help but to think that his new gimmick sounds like an Arby's roast beef sandwich.
Join Brian Maverick Bertrand and Chris Kelly from HeadlocksToHeadlines.com as they talk about every random thing going on within the WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, and the NorCal independent scene. Running the Ropes also features interviews with stars from the past.
It's me. It's the D-O-double-G, the Road Dog, Jesse James.
Present.
What's going on? This is Kazarian.
And this is the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels.
And future.
Hey guys, it's Dream of Fatigue.
And so much more. So join the guys every week on Running the Ropes right here on the SNS Radio Network.
What's up, guys and gals? This is Sensational Sequel, Sensational Sean, right here with you. You can catch myself and Ashley, yes, that is his name, on The Open Book every Friday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. You'll catch us doing video games, The Open Book, Fantasy eFest, and movie and entertainment news. So check us out every Friday at 11 p.m. Eastern Time at snsradionetwork.com. Come check us out.
Hey, wrestling fans, do you want a break from the day-to-day ins and outs of the WWE, TNA, and Ring of Honor? Do you like talk radio that pulls no punches? And do you like your sci-fi and fantasy? Well, tune in to the Elite Force podcast each and every midweek with Chuck W., and each weekend with William Walkie Walker and Mindwipe, exclusively on the SNS Radio Network and the Chris Jones Gaming Network. Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
Impact Wrestling matters, because the fans deserve to see real athleticism with real heart. There's no finer display of fighting skills and athleticism and the entertainment exhibition all rolled into one, and it transfers universally.
Don't miss Impact Wrestling, Thursdays at 9 on Spike.
Impact Wrestling. Wrestling matters again.
This is Cowboy James Storm, and you're listening to Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network. And if you don't like that, sorry about your damn luck.
When you're
All right, guys, we're back right here. Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network. And while we're in a commercial break, I got some breaking news, and I gotta basically talk about this from the SNS Facebook page. I almost wish right now that I had Brodus Clay's music, because, ladies and gentlemen, Funk is in a cell.
What?
And it's not Brodus Clay. No, it's Cameron, also known as Arian Nicole Andrew, who plays the character of Cameron, one of Brodus Clay's dancers. As of 8/24/2012, she was arrested in Hillsborough County, Florida, driving under the influence.
Ah.
Wow.
So Funk is in a cell. Funk is in a cell.
Give it up for the one remaining Funkadactyl.
Not in captivity today.
Not in captivity in the Florida penal system.
Apparently the one that fucking doesn't drink and drive. Naomi.
I mean, fuck, there's two of them. Couldn't they get one of them to drive while the other one was drunk?
See, like, this is the biggest problem in pro wrestling. It's not steroids anymore. It's not fucking drugs. It's fucking professional wrestlers. And well, you're right. It's everybody as a whole, but especially in the pro wrestling industry. The big thing now is to fucking have a few drinks and drive home and get a DUI. Like, what the fuck, people? Be responsible. If ever there was a time you were going to pull the Brodus Clay gimmick, now's the time to do it.
Wow.
Funk is in a cell, folks.
Somebody call a lawyer.
Somebody call a lawyer.
Somebody call a mama.
Now when the little kids are invited into the ring, the parents are going to say, fuck that. We don't want them in there with a felon.
Unbelievable.
Funk is in a cell.
Now,
Funk is in a cell.
There's one other news piece I want to talk about real quick. And that's in regards to, this is not pro wrestling, but we do talk MMA on this particular network every once in a while. And that's gonna come back once my new show on Saturday nights debuts. We are going to talk some MMA, but I don't know if you heard, but there was supposed to be a UFC event this weekend.
You heard?
It was canceled. And it was canceled because John Bones Jones, you know, the guy that was recently arrested for DUI and got a Nike endorsement, and CM Punk criticized him, he apparently turned down the challenge of Chael Sonnen, who basically was given a title match because Dan Henderson was injured and could not compete in the fight. But against his trainer's orders, per his trainer's orders, Greg Jackson, John Bones Jones turned down the fight on 8 days' notice. And this caused UFC 151 to be canceled, ladies and gentlemen. Now, this is a black eye for the UFC, and you're asking, why is it a black eye?
Well,
because it's not like Vince McMahon would, I don't know, cancel a pay-per-view if one of his guys couldn't show up to defend a belt. Now, you need to take in consideration they've refunded everybody their money, so that they're talking millions of loss here. Not to mention all those people that probably had hotels booked, flights booked to Las Vegas to see the fight. Their plans have changed now, and a lot of them probably aren't getting their money back. So this is going to cause some grief with the UFC after the shitty event they put on in Calgary. And now this, UFC's got a black eye on it right now.
Right.
But to combat this, Chael Sonnen, who actually has a pizza joint, Harmony actually posted this on her Facebook. They have a pizza joint. I think it's Mean Street Pizza. And they were running a John Bones Jones special on pizza. It was full of chicken. And you got a six-pack of beer to go along with it.
Wow.
So I got to say, man, if there's any guy in MMA that would be awesome at pro wrestling, it's Chael Sonnen. That motherfucker is entertaining as fuck.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Bronx.
No, I mean, here's what I mean about, you know, when people say, well, you know, if you guys aren't into wrestling anymore, you run out of material. You don't. Twitter and Facebook and the news sites just give you more fucking material than you could possibly want. That's just so awesome that I can't even. I mean, that's why I can't get into UFC. To me, it's like boxing, man. It's just you know, the judges are, to me, are fixed. I mean, I've tried watching boxing in the last 2 years. I've tried watching UFC, and, you know, at least wrestling, it might be fake, but they expect me to know it's fake.
Well, exactly. And I'm gonna go this far as to say this. You know, I mean, Dana White's a smart businessman, and, you know, the Fertitta brothers have done a great job with UFC. I mean, Dana White, you know, came in when UFC was really not a big deal and kind of took it to the heights that it's been. I think the last couple of months they've been on some bad publicity from Calgary. They've been on bad press from this. I'm going to be real honest. I don't know if people feel this way or should feel this way. It's my opinion, and I really don't care what you think. But at the end of the day, I'm not canceling an entire pay-per-view and putting 16 people out of pay for the night and all the people who booked to go to the fucking show. I'm not going to cancel an event based on a guy not showing up. I would change the main event. Better yet, I would take the two top lightweights in the company. I would strip John Bones Jones, who's supposed to be a champion that defends his fucking title in a legit sport. I'd strip him of his fucking belt. I'd fire his ass, and I'd have the two top contenders duke it out, and the winner would be the new fucking lightweight champion. That's how I would fucking do it. I wouldn't cancel. I would cancel my fucking show and get a black eye on my business. But that's just me.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, you know, remember, you know, Brock Lesnar was the black eye on the business. You know, I mean, he wouldn't accomplish anything. He's a fake fucking wrestler. And I love the way Brock, and this is why I still like Brock to a certain extent, the way he shut the UFC fans up. I mean, if Brock wouldn't have got sick, who knows how far he could have gone in UFC, you know?
So, and then they had a problem with UFC 152, was supposed to be John Bones Jones and Lyoto Machida, and Machida turned it down. So, like, I don't understand what the mentality around there is. You know, like, you're given a title fight. You know, fucking jump on it. Do something with it. And if you're the champion and you can't defend your title on 8 days' notice against a guy you didn't train for, then you don't deserve to be the fucking champion.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to cancel the entire fucking show and put 16 guys out of fucking work for the night so that they don't own a fucking paycheck. That makes no fucking sense to me. I'm sure that people would be upset if the title fight didn't happen, but you just put on another fucking main event. This is why pro wrestling will always be better than legitimate sports, because you're going to get a show. Always. You're not going to get a show where you're going to have a fight that lasts 2 minutes. Like in boxing, when Mike Tyson would beat the crap out of people, and you'd pay $60 for a pay-per-view, and it'd be over in 10 minutes. You're guaranteed to get your money's worth. And that's the difference between a fight in the UFC and a wrestling match in the WWE or TNA. Just my 5 cents on it.
No, you got a fan here, bro. I agree. I mean, even the worst wrestling pay-per-view that I can spend money on, at least I know I'm going to get something. You know, I'm going to get something. I mean, you know, you pay for these goddamn events, and here's the main event. Ding, 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 30 seconds, it's over. Really? I spent $60 for that? Come on.
Well, you know, and here's the thing, too, with Chael Sonnen. He was going to go, I think he was going to go down in a weight class or something. He would, like, I can't remember if he was going down in a weight class or something, but, you know, he was taking a fight on 8 days' notice. Like, he said he would have fucking gotten a plane and fought him that night. You know, he was willing to do it, and that's the kind of guy you need, you know,
he's a fighter
in a company like that, who is willing to go out there and do his job. I mean, this guy's a fucking puss. His fucking Dana White called his trainer Greg Jackson a sports killer, and he's right, he is. But I think Dana made a mistake by canceling the whole fucking event. I wouldn't have done that, but that's just me.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you've got 6-7 other fights on the card, I mean, come on. Improvise. Really? Come on. You know.
Well, I mean, again, you're talking about, you know, 16 guys who are influenced by this. You know, they're not going to get paid to be on that show. You know, undercard guys or, you know, lower card guys. They're not, I mean, it's fucking ridiculous. It's, you know, John Bones Jones came out on Twitter, you know, this week and apologized. Fuck you. Nobody wants your apology. And I'm going to tell you right now, the minute you lose that fucking belt, Dana is going to fire your ass. You are gone. You have fucking fucked your reputation up. People didn't like you before, but now they fucking despise you, buddy. your career in the UFC is going to be gone real quick. You better hope Bellator will take your ass.
Yeah.
And this has been a public service announcement from JJ Sexay.
And they will. Bellator will scoop his ass right up.
Well, good for them. I wouldn't want the piece of shit, but that's just me. Anyway, let's move on to some emails and some phone calls. The number to call, 501-588-7957. If you got something you want to talk about, make it quick, because we're going to be wrapping things up here momentarily. But the phone lines are now officially open. So the ball is in your court.
That's right.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, CM Punk.
Sorry, I'm a little nervous. I've always really wanted to do this.
Hey, I like your new haircut.
I have received an email.
Of course you have an email, you idiot. Just read it.
Hey, stop being angry. You're not even there anymore.
You're now, on tour.
This first email that I'm going to get to, we didn't get to last week, obviously, because I had to leave the show. And this is from Seabrood, and he actually asked me if I had read his email prior to making the comments that I made last week, and I hadn't, but now I see why he asked me that. This is entitled Fantasy Booking. Hey, guys, Seabrood here, finally sending another email. It's been a while. So on Friday Night SmackDown, during the Sin Cara Rey Mysterio versus Cody Rhodes in Miz tag match, I began to think of a way for Cena-Mysterio to happen at WrestleMania 29, and this is what I've come up with. So over the course of the fall, Mysterio takes Sin Cara under his wing, and they start teaming together on the shows. They become number one contenders for the tag titles at either Survivor Series or TLC, and win the titles, holding them until February, where they drop them to another tag team. Let's just say the Ascension as an example. So on some random Raw or SmackDown, they get a rematch for the titles and lose. After the match, Rey attacks Sin Cara, saying he cost him the tag team titles, and disrespected Rey Mysterio, turning heel. So over the next few weeks, Rey attacks Sin Cara left and right until Sin Cara fights back and challenges Mysterio to a match at WrestleMania. So that's it, guys. Sorry for the long post. Tell me what you think of my little storyline, and I'll talk to you guys later. Seabrood out. I'll say this. I like where you're going with that. It is similar to what I said. I wouldn't put Mysterio in the heel role. I would say Sin Cara would fit that better, simply because Rey Mysterio is just too likable as a babyface. Now, you could do a scenario with, say, what they did with... How do I paraphrase this? You could do what they did at WrestleMania 19, where you had Chris Jericho and Shawn Michaels. Now, Jericho was the heel in that, and Michaels was the face in that match. You could almost do a situation where, you remember at the ending of the match, which is just a classic ending, by the way, where where Shawn Michaels goes to hug Chris Jericho, and they do hug, and then Jericho low blows him. You could almost do a scenario like that, but after the match is over, Sin Cara actually hugs Rey Mysterio, and they stand together in the ring. That's how I would do it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Mysterio needs a good out, and he deserves a good out. The problem is, having Sin Cara as a heel, I would almost love if somehow they put Rodriguez with Sin Cara, if that happened, because... to me, the only way I can believe in a heel is if he can talk.
Rodriguez? So we're going to take Alberto Del Rio's Rodriguez and have him... He's seen Cara! I mean, are we talking like...
No.
Seriously? He'd ring announce for him?
Switch it up, not just ring announce. The guy can obviously speak English. Have him come out and talk shit on Sin Cara's behalf. What I'm trying to allude to is, I agree with what you're saying, but I can't accept a heel who doesn't talk to me. That's the problem with Sin Cara going heel.
You could get a translator. You wouldn't have to get Rodriguez, but you could get a translator. I mean, think about it. Let's bring MMA back into the equation for a second. 90% of the motherfuckers in the UFC are fucking from South America. Okay, like the Gracies and shit, right? You know, Silva. They all have interpreters with them. None of them speak English. You could do that with Sin Cara. You could literally have a guy standing there, Sin Cara, and then the fucking guy spout off everything he just said.
Right.
Like 90% of the UFC is fucking Brazilian. And none of them speak English. Like, you could easily make that work. But I don't think Sin Cara needs to be a full-blown heel. I think they need to have some sort of a misunderstanding that leads to a match at WrestleMania. You don't have to make either one of them the heel.
Yeah. Yeah, I got you.
It's just a matter of, well, this happened and he feels bad about it, you know, and he blames me, and that's why we're having this match. And then at the end, they reconcile, regardless of who wins, and that's Rey Mysterio's swan song. But that's how I'd book it. Let's go to the phone lines. Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
Gentlemen, this is DJ. How are you guys doing today?
We're good, man. What's up with you?
I don't know. The last segment had me laughing because, you know, I remember when I called 2 weeks ago and I said, Bronxy, you're into animals, and now we know that he's been watching Animal Planet. You know, one and one goes together here, you know?
I'm telling you, man. Tomato, tomato.
Tomato, tomato. You know, I did not watch Raw last night. This is the first time in a long time. I didn't even want to watch it. Because whenever you watch the pay-per-views, they throw it all back at you. Why bother watching Raw anymore, you know?
That's exactly what I said. Why bother making it a point to sit down for 3 hours and waste 3 hours of your life when come Sunday on the pay-per-view, all they're going to do is do a replay that leads you right up to why they're fighting and how it started and everything.
Right. And, you know, I'm getting to the point where I'm starting to hate wrestling. I'm starting to hate MMA. It's all bullshit and money. That's all it is nowadays. And it's pretty bad.
Well,
I'm excited.
Like I said, yeah, me too. Like I said, you know, I still enjoy TNA. So as long as I've got that, then I'm still enjoying wrestling. So
I don't watch TNA. I watch the pay-per-views, but I don't watch their shows weekly. So, you know, maybe I can try TNA. Maybe it'll spark my interest, and
don't watch it. Just do like everybody else and talk shit and not watch it.
No, it's just I won't talk shit about a product. WWE's too PG for me, and I like the whole attitude era, you know, where Stone Cold came out, flipped you off, kicked your ass, you know.
Well, Fred Durst tried to flip you off. He got in trouble.
I'm surprised they didn't fine him for that shit.
Well, Fred Durst tried to bring back the attitude era. God bless him.
Well, I mean, what changed is, you know, wrestling, especially WWE, is getting like a soap opera kind of anime, almost like Dragon Ball Z or fucking, you know, Pokemon, where you can say, all right, I'll miss 10 episodes, and as long as I tune in once every 2 months, I can instantly catch up on what's going on.
It didn't used to be that way.
Right. Yeah, you're right. But what Raw's doing is like, I always make a joke in the chat on Monday nights about, it's a Raw recap. And they'll replay something from last week, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. The thing I get from TNA is it's almost like if I miss an episode, I might get screwed up because I might not know what's going on. But WWE, I can go 3-4 weeks without watching Raw and tune in and then know exactly what's happening. So it really shows you the soap opera writers on Monday Night Raw and WWE.
Don't they have like 50 of them or something like that from what I've heard?
Yep.
They're all soap opera writers, though. That's the problem.
That is true. But no, also, I wanted to talk about this China porno. You know, I saw her last two. I saw her Avengers porno, and I was like, what in the hell is she doing now?
Well, I haven't seen that one yet.
She's a green bitch, and she gets fucked, and that's it. You know, but it's not entertaining at all. That's why I'm like, whenever I was laughing so hard when you guys were just taking shots at Bronxy and then telling him, you know, he wouldn't bang Palin, and I would in a New York minute because she's hot. I wonder about you, man. I really do.
I could see China saying, you know what my secret is, guys? I'm always horny. And then just have her turn into a green bitch and fuck like 20 guys.
You won't like me when I'm horny.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Oh, God.
Well she is a green bitch.
She is a green bitch, but, you know. That's basically it. Trey, were you still looking for a co-host for tomorrow? Because I'm so excited for your fantasy football.
Yeah, you want to do it, Willie?
I can talk football for 6 hours straight.
Bronx, just so you understand, when he says he wants to do it with him, he's talking about co-hosting the show.
Yeah, I get that. I won't even attempt. to co-host football. So
it has nothing to do with having two Peters, okay? Nothing.
Right. Right.
I need to make sure Bronx understands.
Okay.
Yeah. Tomorrow, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about or what we're talking about, we're going to have our Wrestling News Live Fantasy Football Draft at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. Please be at the draft. We are also going to have a live radio show during the draft, talking about all the picks and everything. If you have a Skype line, like if you have a Skype name and you're going to be in the league drafting, please send that to me on Facebook so I can add it, or add me tonight. It's Trey WNL, I believe is my Skype name. What is my Skype name? Trey Dog WNL? Is that it?
I believe it's at Trey WNL.
I think my Skype name is Trey Dog WNL. I don't know. What am I? Who am I? Yeah, Trey Dog WNL.
Right. Yeah.
So, and it's DAWG, not DOG. It's Trey DAWG WNL. Add me to Skype if you're in the league, because during the draft, we may call you and talk about some of the picks you've made and other things concerning the league.
See, that's weird.
It'll be fully interactive.
That's weird, because I have you listed at Trey WNL, and that's it. That's like your address.
Well, on my Skype, it says Trey Dog WNL.
No, that's probably what your name is beside it, but your actual address is at Trey WNL.
Well,
just like mine is at SNS underscore JJSexA1.
No, that's Twitter.
Oh, what did I say? Facebook?
We're talking about Skype.
Oh, well, I thought you said fucking Twitter.
No, Skype me your name on Skype.
No.
Or add me as a contact.
Man, I'm getting close to Bronx tonight. You know that?
Now, wait a minute. Buzzers. There we go.
I was working on it, Bronx.
Okay.
That's what I said. I'm getting close to fucking up as bad as you tonight.
L Train, are you in the league? I haven't looked. Where'd he go?
I don't know. I think we have a caller online. Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
Good evening, gentlemen. It's Brass Eye.
Brass Eye, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. How are you doing?
I'm in a better mood than I was when I started the show. I'll be honest.
You sound in a much better mood. I will tell you that.
It's been an interesting show tonight.
What's not to love? We've talked about multiple penis and reptile, porno.
Please, I'm still bringing
sexual
up
positions.
My dinner.
Well, you know, it's the nature of the wrestling business now. You know, we're going to do these shows, and we're going to talk about penises and reptiles and porno and everything else, because shit, how much is WWE for us to talk about?
No, Bronx. Trey and JJ will talk about porno. You'll be talking about stink penises. Let's get it straight. Okay. Anyway, I'm calling tonight, gentlemen, because we are adding a new feature to the website and to the shows, and this is the test phone call to make sure it works. Sometime this week, we will be introducing a toll-free number to the website.
Yay!
Nice.
And this was the call to make sure it did work. It's going to be U.S. only. For some reason, we can't allow Canadians to call the toll-free number. So we're going to have to restrict it to U.S. only. But other than that, it seems to be up, working, forwarding properly. And I don't have to do anything else other than hang up the phone. So with that, I'm going to say goodnight, gentlemen.
Who was our first caller that just said they wanted to host the goddamn show with me tomorrow night?
DJ.
DJ. All right, DJ, if you're still listening, hit me up on chat in a private message. I thought it was Latino that called in. Shit, I was busy doing football shit.
Well, you know, when
You get a buzzer for that, too.
Yeah. It's one thing that they all look alike. Now they all sound alike. Jesus Christ.
Wow, folks, he went there.
Wow.
One second, I'm actually doing something. That's why I'm not talking. What the hell? Trying to
Jake's got like the Matrix in front of him, you know.
I do. I do. It's crazy.
You know, I don't see any code. All I see is a chick with a red dress, you know, chick with a blue dress, chick with a big booty, you know. That's what this code is. JJ is the one.
I guess DJ just got knocked off the fucking internet. That's why he wasn't there anymore.
Well, I know. He just disappeared. I didn't hang up on him. He just disappeared.
I mean, with Apple taking over every fucking thing, I mean, Apple, I'm really upset about this as a Samsung guy. Apple won a lawsuit against Samsung saying Samsung is ripping off their shit. Really? I mean, come on.
Well, kids, I got to get out of here so I can go to work. So let's wrap this shit up.
Sounds like a plan. Hang on a second. I actually have one more email I think we got to get to real quick.
Okay.
Which won't take long.
I'm looking for DJ to come back, but I guess he's not coming back.
Well, I think DJ, are you there? No, he's not.
Hello?
Back. Yeah, he's back.
DJ.
Yeah, I got kept Skype being a bitch, so it kicked
you got
me
Skype
out.
Being death dropped?
Yeah, I got Skype being death dropped.
All right, so go ahead and send me a contact, add as a contact on Skype right now so I have you. I'm gonna be okay. working on the draft show tomorrow during the day, and I'll send you a message tomorrow during the day so that you know when to join me and everything. So,
sounds like a plan.
Are you in the league?
Yes, I am in the league. I got in on Saturday.
I'm going to randomly do the draft order with randomizer tomorrow.
Your site, I was trying to get in, and I guess it said 505. You know, it was down, but since the was it Mindwipe who just called you guys telling you about the new line? Maybe he's just adding that on right now. So
it's Brass Eye.
No,
right?
Are you trying to get in? Are you trying to get in through Explorer?
I'm trying to. I'm using Google Chrome actually.
Huh? Because I don't have. If you like, you see the Wrestling News Live Fantasy Football League logo next to the chat.
Yeah.
If you click that, tell me if you click that, see what it does.
All right. Let me see.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Chrome and Explorer are like, you know, poor Ziggler's sex life. They pertain to be good, but they're not. Man, use Firefox. I get into any site I want to. No
porn sites? You get into porn sites, don't you, there, Bronxy? It's cool.
Oh, I get into any damn site that I want. Foreign, domestic. Use Firefox, dude.
So you look at foreign porno, too? Wow, dude, that's cool. Anything interesting I like, you know?
And I get porno wherever I can get it, you know?
Hey, listen, you guys can do Porno Talk Live some other night. We got to wrap things up. Trey's got to go to work. So you're hosting the show with him tomorrow night, right, DJ?
Yes, sir.
All right, so look forward to that.
All right, so there you go. We'll have our fantasy football draft special tomorrow night. We'll start about 5 minutes before the draft starts, so about 7:55 Eastern, 6:55 Central. Is when we're going to start the show. You can listen to it right here where you're at right now. So just make sure you're there for the live draft, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
All right. I just wanted to say thanks, guys, for letting me get on. Trey, I'll talk to you tomorrow, and you guys have a good night.
Bye, buddy.
Later. Yeah, fuck Skype. That's right. It should be our fucking send-off from now on. Fuck Skype. All right. Well, that said, we've got one final email to get to real quick. This is from Reaper Crew. What's up, fellas? I'm nearly an 8-year veteran of WNL. Didn't think Raw was great this week. But, man, TNA was awesome. The Aces and Eights storyline is so good. I feel like us long-term TNA fans are being rewarded for our loyalty. Anyways, just wanted to ask you if you think Bischoff is behind the group. I read somewhere he's big into motorcycles and stuff, and so is Hulk Hogan. Thanks, fellas. WNL for life. Sam Crow.
You know, I still think Hogan's got something to do with this, but I still, in my heart of hearts, you know, if you try to make as much sense of it as you can, it makes more sense to me for it to be Jeff Jarrett, because don't forget, we still have the Bound for Glory and Hall of Fame induction ceremony. He wasn't the first one in. Sting was. Sting is also the one that fired him and Karen when he came into power as general manager. It just every arrow in Sir Isaac Newton's bag points right to Jeff Jarrett. But then again, could that be too obvious?
Well, you know, I think I don't even watch TNA, but you know, based on the fact that it's a biker gang, that Eric Bischoff is as big into bikes as he is. I mean, anybody remember Road Wild from Sturgis back in the WCW days? I could literally see it being Bischoff and Jeff Jarrett in collusion together.
Well, I don't know where Bischoff fits, though. I mean, Jeff Jarrett was fired, yes. But Jeff Jarrett still has ties to the company.
Well, but at the same time, Bischoff was fucking thrown in a porta potty and knocked over.
Right, and by law, he was forced to change his name.
Yes. So it makes sense when you think about it.
So how does he... I mean, I guess to get back at Hogan, is that his end game?
I would think so. If they turn Hogan, like, that would be the stupidest shit ever.
No, if they turn Hogan, there's a good chance I'd stop watching wrestling altogether.
It wouldn't surprise me if they did, though.
It just wouldn't make sense to be so soon. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but the thing is, you have Bischoff and Aces and Eights without Hogan. The
Anthony
two of
Farley.
Them attached at the hip for the last, what, 10 years? You know, that's my problem. I kind of think Bischoff has nothing to do with it.
Well, we will find out soon, and that's the interesting thing about TNA is that I mean, coming from me does nothing for, you know, I'm a big supporter of TNA, and I have been for a long time, but I'm also a realist. You know, I'm not the kind of fan that thinks my team is going to win the Super Bowl every fucking year. I'm a real fan. I know that we are in a rebuilding mode, but at the same time, I can look at one product and I can look at another. And if you put all feelings to the side, which one entertains you the most? Well, I can tell you this much. When the main event for TNA happens, I go, wow, that went by fast. Last night, I thought, holy shit, there is still another hour and a half of this shit to go.
No, that's what happens on a three-hour fucking broadcast. I want to bring one point real quick before we wrap things up. Pitbull in the chat says, Bischoff is the producer of The Devil's Ride, which is where possibly the idea got its legs from for the Aces and Eights. So, I mean, if you're going to bring Bischoff...
I still think Aces and Eights is a ripoff of...
Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy / Hell's Angels / The Lost and the Damned.
And you're probably right, but I mean, you know, Bischoff does produce TV shows. We know he's into bikes. If you're going to bring him back, I think this is probably a way to do it, and I could see Jeff
Jarrett. I love the fact it's a biker gang. I think that's fucking badass.
Well, I just want to see who's going to be in the group. I mean, I could see Luke Gallows playing a biker pretty easy.
And I'm praying to God that Chris Harris is involved in this. I find it awfully ironic that he was in Orlando during the live show last week. He was in Orlando.
Very cool.
Well, they got two pay-per-views to do it, and, you know, getting patched in, and, you know, that's all about...
You talk about a guy that has every reason for wanting to come back and wreak hell on James Storm and TNA.
Yeah.
That's a good point, yeah. But we got to wrap things up. I know Trey's got to get to work, so I just want to say in closing...
Gotta go.
I got to say in closing that make sure you listen to all the live programming here on the SNS Radio Network, the open book with the Sensational Sean this week on Friday, and, of course, tomorrow night's big WNL Fantasy Draft, as well as Thursday night's TNA Chat Live with the Trey Dog. And there's not a pay-per-view this weekend, is there? No.
Negative, Catfish.
No pay-per-view this weekend, so no Sunday night showdown.
I'll be watching Animal Planet.
And make sure you check out all the podcasts here on the website, the SNS Radio Network. Shows like the Elite Force Podcast, which is back after a two-week hiatus, with Walkie and Mind Wipe, the midweek edition with Chuck W. every Wednesday. And, of course, shows like Beyond the Bell, the whole indie show, and then Running the Ropes with Crelly and Maverick.
Boy, wouldn't that be interesting as hell. Would this draw you in, JJ, to TNA if John Morrison was behind the Aces and Eights?
If John Morrison turns biker, I think I'm going to swear off wrestling. He's not the biker type. He's not what you consider a tough guy type.
Well, but but you can bring anybody, I mean, that's new. I mean, he's new. He could come in and be their fucking, you know, he could be their leader, and they could, you know. And I think if they really want to do this right, they need to introduce a female to put in the knockouts division. I mean, if you're really going to take over, take over.
Well, goddamn, Melina would be a shoe-in for that position. She'd fuck every biker on the fucking roster.
All right, well, I'm out of here.
Yeah, let's hope not. But anyway, make sure you check out all the shows, and you know, we appreciate you guys checking us out here on the SNS Radio Network.
Yes.
On that note, I'm going to kick it over to JSK, and we are going to get the hell out of here. Got a special song of the night. This one's kind of dedicated to Bronx and his fetishes with snakes and whatever else he likes to fucking do. But
spiders and snakes.
With that being said, we'll see you next week for another thrilling edition of Wrestling News Live right here on the SNS Radio Network. Just like Calgon, JSK, take me away.
Take us away.
Cool. With that being said, thank you very much for listening to the show. Thanks for everybody that participates in the forum boards, and thanks for everybody participating in the chat room. Until next week, peace, 420, kiss my ass. Good night, white people. I'm out.
Well, now, we call this the act of mating. But there are several other very important differences between human beings and animals that you should know about.
Part in this song where they say a snake has two penises. I'm just saying. Be honest, folks, I don't think Bronx has ever seen The Little Man in the Boat.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Do it again now.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Do it now.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's Discovery Channel.
Do it again now.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Ring of Honor, or any other professional wrestling and or entertainment companies.
and exclusive to the SNS Radio Network.
No animals were harmed in the taping of this live radio show. We at the SNS Radio Network do not endorse bestiality, but we cannot vouch for everyone on the network. Thank you and good night.